Tonight, we bring you the holiday joy of hopefulness, eagerness, and maybe a little bit of bitterness, too, for what changes have happened and what's to come. Join us for the week's gaming news and another day off the advent calendar, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight, episode number 711. Sorry, no free Slurpees. For this December the 17th of 2017, my name, Rob Roberts. You might know me on Twitter at Sky, S-K-I-E. Joining me, as always, say hello, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
I need to get seven words out in the open.
Oh, is this going to be a George Carlin thing?
It's the new George Carlin thing.
Okay.
Because apparently number 45 dump has decided that people can't say these words, so we're getting into 1984 territory.
Never
here.
Never one to shy away from political statements here on OLR.
Well, I call out garbage when garbage is there.
I understand.
So I'm going to say them now.
Please.
Fetus, diversity, vulnerable, entitlement, transgender, science-based, evidence-based.
Are these all things you got me for Christmas?
Yeah, I got you a fetus. I found it in the dumpster. Because our regulations now on women's bodies are so terrible that women have to go and use, you know, coat hangers
anyway,
and use the
believe
dumpster.
It or not, it's a show about video games once in a while. But
well,
you just
kind of did walk into that one.
I guess I did. Anyway, happy Hanukkah for what it's
Thank
worth.
Thank you. Yeah. Chag Sameach to you.
Good Jutai.
That's actually like pretty much what you say on a holiday.
Is it? Okay.
Chag Sameach.
Now, but if I remember correctly, and I come from a place of I don't really know, so just educate me if I need to be educated. But my understanding is that like Christmas is like a big freaking deal to the people who celebrate Christmas, right?
Yeah.
But Hanukkah's like it's a deal, but like it's not the Jewish holiday. That would be like Rosh Hashanah, right?
Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
Those are the big ones.
Okay. So this is more like so kids have a thing to not feel left out.
Story time.
All right.
Back in the day, okay. And see, now I'm also going to say this is the only Jewish holiday that is not in Torah.
Okay.
It was actually in an apocryphal book called the Book of Maccabees.
So, Christ, lady, you're dumping politics and religion on me and hadn't even been
but
5 minutes
neat
in the
story.
Show?
So, basically, the temple had been taken over, made into a place of pagan worship, and Maccabees got their shit together, took the temple back, quick version, right?
Mm-hmm.
They only had enough oil for one night.
Right.
So
that part I know.
They sent off for oil, but they made the oil last for 8 nights, and that's right. The miracle of Hanukkah.
Well, that's what you get for using Amazon these days, because they
right?
never get their shit out on time.
Girl. But anyway, and I like the meme going around to say the modern equivalent of having, 1 hour left on, what being 1% on your phone and having it last for 8 days.
That is a miracle. That
right?
is That's a very modern way to explain. That's how you explain it to a millennial.
But
And put down the angry emails. I'm just being silly. God.
But the whole thing is that I'm sure Jewish kids felt left out that all of their little Gentile friends
sure.
were getting presents. So now it's kind of like a back to school holiday where people get pencils and like shirts and socks.
Which you don't start to appreciate those things till later in life.
I like socks.
Like when I was younger, it was like, socks and underwear, whatever. But now that I'm, more in my prime, I'm like, ooh, socks and underwear.
Dude, I get giddy every time Daiso has socks. Because the Daiso... Okay, this is my non-endorsed endorsement of Daiso.
Okay.
The pile socks they have at Daiso are fucking comfortable as hell. I'm wearing my new pair with stars all over them.
They are pretty cute, actually.
And they're thick and cushy, and I tear up socks really easily. And women's socks are usually made like shit. These are comfy.
Mm-hmm.
I will sleep in these suckers.
All right.
So, well, Daiso socks.
Anyway, let's move on, of course, to Techmaster Loki as well. Hello, hello. Who is downing a Slurpee here on the show? Did
yes.
you bring enough for the whole class?
No.
Of course you didn't. All right, that's all right. But you did bring other gifts. Can I open this?
I did bring other gifts.
Yay.
Yes.
So it's a Christmas special. So I know I'm hearing that in chat some of you are tuning out OLR Live to go watch A Christmas Story Live.
Come
which,
on, you've seen that.
Well,
you've seen
technically it's based on the Broadway thing. It's not.
Everybody's
like, why would
different.
They remake the movie? Well, they're technically doing the Broadway version, which wasn't around very long. But anyway, my point is, you could have TiVo'd that and listen to this. No, I'm just kidding. Whatever. You like what you like. That's why we podcast this, because Sunday nights don't work for everybody. But I am going to open this.
Okay.
I have our own Christmas story right now. So I'm opening this. What is, ooh, is this like a puzzle? What is this? This is, ooh, what the hell? And there's actually like, Loki's a good guy and puts the receipt on there just in case I decide it's not for me. Drop mix? What the? Wait a minute. I know this. This was like a Kickstarter at one point. It's the harmonics thing, right? Oh, rad.
And I have batteries for it, too.
I love it.
Batteries.
So tell me really quick. Like, I sort of remember the Kickstarter for this.
I don't know what the game's like. I tried it at the store one time. And you put cards down and it reads them and it makes music.
Okay, that's pretty rad.
Somehow.
Yeah, and it actually has music from... Fallout Boy, Imagine Dragons. Oh, thank God. This is a religious holiday after all. There is Carly Rae Jepsen included in this as well. Carly Slay Jesusson. I'm so happy. All right. That's great. Fantastic. Thank you, Loki. That's very nice of you.
No problem.
All right. Oh, and now
Narcsakra's. Oh, fuck.
And I'm looking in chat at live.vognetwork.com. SSGO100 Matt says drop mix is really cool. VidPower says it's really well done. That's awesome.
Yay.
Don't throw the bag away.
I have Portal, the uncooperative cake acquisition game, with a Steam code for Portal 2. So if any friends would like to have a Steam code for Portal 2 and play with me, ooh, Steam card. Yay, thank you.
Now you can buy Portal 3, JK.
JK, they can't count.
Well, technically, it's a new game because it's a board.
No, I love it. I love it. It's very, if you haven't seen the box for this, it's very like plain 1960s generic box. Mm-hmm. And it does say in like a very plain font, Portal, cake acquisition game. So it's great. I love it.
Hold on. Let me see what the R's look like. Aha. We have some rather tightly kerned Helvetica.
Great.
And actually, there are some games on my Steam wish list that this will come in handy for.
Loki, you bought me a game on Steam as well. Like, as if this drop mix wasn't awesome enough. What was the game you bought on Steam, and why did you pick this? We can actually get to video games at some point tonight.
It's called Getting Over It, and it's because it's incredibly frustrating. And it's a good streaming game because it's fun to watch people play it because it's incredibly frustrating.
And I've been really, really slacking on my streaming, but I really, really am going to try to get back into doing that regularly. Just not tonight because I have company visiting. So welcome back to the show here at Orange Lounge Radio. He's been on the show like a bunch this year, and he's back one more time for our last live show of 2017. Say hello to JD.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, great. So we went on Pokemon Adventures today. You want to talk about that for a little bit?
Sure.
You've been playing more Pokemon Go because nobody plays it anymore, right?
I play it when I come to Sacramento.
You've been playing more. You've been playing at home, too, haven't you?
Yeah, a bit.
Some very nice guy gave you a clicker thing, his old clicker thing, and you're playing it more, right?
Yeah, so I've been using the Pokemon Go Plus. It's especially helpful when I'm at home because I live right next to a Pokestop, so I can just sit there and hit the button every 5 minutes, and that's been nice. But yeah, it's been good to get like the GPS credit for like walking around, because that was one of the biggest obstacles to me playing was like Pokemon Go, like having it in the foreground of my phone takes forever and I can't do anything else. And so now I can like do other stuff on my phone.
That's really the best part of the Pokemon Go Bluetooth devices, be it an official plus or a gotcha, is the walking credit. It really is the best. Yeah. So awesome. Yes, Star Saga.
I actually use, when I take a walk at work, mm-hmm. I turn on Pokemon Go on my Apple Watch.
Oh, yeah. I always, depending on where I'm walking, I either play Pokemon Go if it's not a place I can really play Ingress, or I play Ingress if I intentionally drove to a park to pew, 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 laser beams.
And sometimes you do both at the same time.
Thankfully, with the iPhone 10, I can kind of do both. I can Bluetooth with Pokemon, and I can pew, pew, laser beams with Ingress. So it just kind of depends on the situation. So heaven forbid when Niantic launches that third game, Harry Potter Wizards Unite, because then I'm going to have to make some tough choices, because luckily that Draconis Go was kind of...
Because choosing a house isn't hard enough.
Yeah, I know. No, that part's easy. Slytherin for life. Slytherin. Easy.
I'm kind of torn between Hufflepuff and Ravenclaw.
When your favorite drag queen is Alaska, you're going to pick Slytherin.
Right, because you already speak Parseltongue.
That's right. Exactly. And there's like only three listeners that are going to understand that.
I think that you're a cuddly, adorable Hufflepuff.
The only problem, see, with playing Pokemon Go recently is that we're just too extreme for Pokemon Go.
Yeah, what the hell is that about with
this
weather?
So it's extreme weather! Oh my god, there's clouds outside! tried. Okay,
so right now, here, our show is based in lovely Sacramento, California. And right now, you just brought up Pokemon Go this moment. We're getting an extreme weather alert.
Yes, extreme weather because it's chilly outside. Like, not cold, but kind of chilly. And there's a few slight clouds.
So here's the thing. Apparently, that is tied to official weather alerts. So when you see that extreme alert, I just pull up the Weather Channel app or whatever Weather Channel thing you want to use. Boy, I just really plugged the Weather Channel, didn't I? I guess I hope for a kickback. But anyway, I see the alert, and here's the thing. There is an alert, a special weather statement, until Monday, 6 a.m. So we're going to be locked. Well, you're not locked out of Pokemon Go, but no bonus. No bonus for you in Pokemon Go. You want Stardust? You can't have it. So no Stardust in Pokemon Go until Monday, 6 a.m. because here's the official notice. Rain and lower elevation mountain snow late Tuesday night and Wednesday. A weak storm system will move across the region Tuesday night and Wednesday. This is a fucking alert for Tuesday and Wednesday about a weak-ass storm system. It says in the – did not say a weak storm system.
You know what I'm looking forward to?
What?
So I live in San Francisco. Uh-huh. And in the summer, sometimes it gets a little warm for us. So the National Weather Service will issue heat alerts when it gets to be about 80 Fahrenheit. So, because it actually is a problem there, if you don't have air conditioning, like 80 is actually harmful for the elderly, but it's like for everyone else, it's like, okay, it's going to be a little warm, but that's probably going to do the same thing in Pokemon Go. It's going to shut off and it's like, oh no, it's too hot.
Here's my suggestion for Niantic on how to fix this, because a lot of the players are kind of irritated at this, because the weather system is actually really awesome because it has really mixed up the types of Pokemon that you see. Like, I'm seeing way different stuff now. With, you know, when it's, you know, sunny and cloudy and all that stuff. But this kind of puts a big stink on the whole thing. But my suggestion for Niantic is you need to filter the title of these alerts and look for severe weather statement.
How about
that would be the, like, stuff that would be hurricanes.
Tornado, blizzard.
Well, honestly, if you do severe weather statement, I think anything that falls in that category is going to do that. But you need to filter out these. That's a cautionary statement.
It really makes me wonder just how sophisticated the API is, because I'm sure that's got to be part of it.
It's not. Plot twist. Well, there you go. Anyway, the last break man in our chat at live.vognetwork.com says, what the fuck? The weather people in California sound bored. Yeah, kind of. Sometimes. Anyway, I should give our chat room a proper introduction. Hello, guys. We do tape live, of course, every Sunday nights at the Voice Geeks Network, vognetwork.com, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Black Wolf show. And that's where you guys are chatting along with our show right now. Tiger Claw points out, guys, today is the 30th anniversary of Mega Man. It came out on December 17th, 1987. How about that? Mega Man is officially 30 years old today. And I would have made a lame joke about how Capcom has pretty much, you know, kicked Mega Man to the curb. But Mega Man 11 kind of saved the day, didn't it? And now we're getting a Mega Man X collection. So I can't really talk shit about Capcom right now with Mega Man. So let me ask this. Favorite Mega Man stage in any game? You can do X if you want. Favorite Mega Man stage in any game?
That's going to be a little bit difficult because it's kind of like my least favorite and most favorite. Uh-huh. And that's the Mecha Dragon in Mega Man 2.
Okay, so you're picking Wily's Castle Part 1.
Yeah.
Or
Part 2.
Sorry, Wily's Castle into Part 1.
Yes. No, not Part 1. It was...
Was it? No,
I don't think it was Part 1.
No, it was Part 1. The dragon was the boss Part 1.
No, never mind.
Because 2 is when you fall down, and anyway.
I like that one, too.
Yeah.
I just pretty much like the whole Wily stage in 2.
They have the same music, so that's why you get confused. So anyway, but that's your favorite? Yeah, that dragon's
pretty
badass.
Pretty much the whole Wily stage.
Yeah.
I would say.
Okay.
Because I had that whole thing down to a science. And I used to be able to do that level blindfolded.
What about you, JD?
So I'm going to have to admit, I'm going to need to buy this collection of all the Mega Man games.
Because you haven't played any?
Because I don't think I've ever beaten a Mega Man game.
Oh, that's okay if you haven't beaten them. They're kind of hard.
I mean, I played some of them when I was in elementary school.
Do you remember any of them? Usually the one that comes to mind first.
I remember the names of some of them, but I haven't really like sat down and gone through a level.
Okay.
Like, I've watched other people play.
You ignorant child. I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, Mega Man is only 6 months younger than me.
Shut up. All right. Loki, how about you? Favorite Mega Man?
I don't know. It's been so long since I played those. Probably.
It's easy for me.
I like when you have to go back in number 2 to fight some of the bosses from number 1. That's kind of fun. But there's like 4 stages for that.
That doesn't happen. You're thinking Mega Man 3, you go back and fight Mega Man 2.
You sure?
Yeah.
I thought that was in 2.
Chatters, am I wrong?
Because you have to fight Metal Man again.
Nope. Into, you have to go back and fight. In fact, this is in every Mega Man game. You have to go back and fight all the bosses again from the same game that you're in.
Right, from the same game. But
I thought they had the ones from like number one in there as well.
No, it was in three. You went back and fought the bosses in two.
Oh,
and they alter some of the stages, the corner stages, and you do like two bosses.
Yeah, I remember that. Okay.
Well, I guess I'm the only one that remembers these games. Jesus. All right, no, it's
girl.
Fine. Let's see. Okay, so my favorite, easy, hands down, Elec Man. It's because of the music in the original Mega Man game. It's my favorite music in any stage is Elec Man.
She's a really good sound designer. Really good composer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
She was amazing.
Well, she didn't die. She has a new album coming.
No,
she has a new album coming out soon.
She does, but I still...
She is a good composer, yes.
Yes.
I'm just giving you crap.
Isn't that what I said?
Her work
you said
was.
I was okay, like, well, she didn't die. she was at MAGFest the last time I went, so yeah.
I do know the music from Mega Man well enough, because that's like everywhere.
Okay, so what's your favorite Mega Man song?
Well, I don't know the names. I just hear them on radio.
Metal Man's theme.
Just say Bubble Man, or say, what's another popular one? I'm trying to think of the popular Crash. I'll say Crash Bandicoot. Crash Man. Yeah, anyway. All right, going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com.
Quick Man's music was rad.
Dark Tetsuya says, I think 3 was my favorite of the series. Black Wolf says, my favorite thing about Mega Man is the Megas. VidPower says, Airman song is a great song. That was, you know what, Airman stage was the first stage I ever played in any Mega Man game, and I remember that. So
you know, they always would tell people to start with Airman, and I never would. I'd always start with Metal Man.
Yes, there's kind of two loops through the game, and you can start with Airman, but I agree, Metal Man I think is easier to start with.
And don't forget, we got from that game, Airman God Talsanai.
Okay, let's embarrass ourselves in front of the listeners. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember? Okay, starting with Metal Man.
Do you
remember
Love? That's Macross.
Do you remember the path through Mega Man 2? What bosses to do in what order? Starting with whatever you want.
I would always do them a little bit out of order because I would always do Mega Man, Crash Man, and Flash Man.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you can always use the weapon. And then I would do Air Man.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would go do Quick Man with Flash Man's weapon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I would do Heat Man with Quick Man.
I don't think that's right.
No, I would do Bubble Man. I would just beat everybody with the Metal Blades anyway.
You just kick all their asses.
You just beat them with the Metal Blades anyway. It doesn't matter because they shoot diagonal.
Let's see. I always started with Metal Man, and then Metal Man to Flash Man, Flash Man to Quick Man, Quick Man to... Yeah, this is where I get stuck too. I can't remember what Quick Man worked well on. Was it...
Bubble Man?
Was it Bubble Man?
I don't know.
Because that would make sense. I just remember the Bubble is what you use on Heat. Heat is Woodman. You can kill Woodman with one super fire shot. Woodman is Airman.
And
Airman
the,
is Crashman.
You need the bubble lead for the final Wily fight.
I think that's it. Did I name 8? I think I just named the path through the game.
But you need the bubble lead to beat 2.
Well, yeah, that's the
and
super
in 3
weapon
it's
at the, end.
The it's the top top man, which was otherwise fucking useless.
All right.
Tops
yeah, okay,
Chatters important.
Agree.
We
it was Bubble Man
respect.
After Quick Man. That's what I thought. All right. So I sort of remembered. Yay. All right, let's get into the real kickoff topic for tonight. I mean, you know, Mega Man, celebrating that is always fun, but you know, it just goes to show our live chatters will derail this show at any moment for any reason. So anyway, I want to talk about this because this is a controversial topic around this week. You know, this is usually the time of year when the gaming news slows down, but this year's been kind of different. Like, I feel like we've still got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, starting with this, and it has to do with... something that the creator of PUBG, which I sometimes call PUGB, which I know is out of order, but pugs are cute, which of course I'm talking about PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, and Brendan Green is the creator of this game, and a little statement that he made is kind of floating around the blogs this week, and it's kind of, you know, I don't know how much of this guy kind of like truly feels or how much is kind of a shaped quote to make articles sound clicky, but anyway... Apparently what's going on is that he's not too big on copycats of PUBG. And I don't think this is so much about, because we know a few months ago, or maybe even less than that, there was a little bit of hubbub with Fortnite. And, you know, I don't think they were feeling too great about that. But I don't think this is what he's addressing here. He's talking a little bit more about, you go to like some of the mobile phone fronts, especially like China, you're going to see shit where they have just like straight up downloaded the assets, the maps, you know, they've basically ripped off the game. So anyway, he didn't drop any names when he was talking about what his problems were, though. But Brendan, the creator of PUBG, said, I want other developers to put their own spin on the game, not just lift things from our game. And this came from an interview he did with BBC Radio 1. In movies and music, there is IP production, and you can really look after your work. In gaming, that doesn't exist yet, and it's something that could be should be looked into.
But didn't he rip his game off of H1Z1 King of the Kill? I mean, it's basically the same game.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. Now, he did...
I like people preaching like, oh, it should be this way. You're fucking guilty of the same shit.
He did say, though, that he's not trying to shut down anyone who copies elements from his game, but he wants the genre to grow, and that's only going to happen when developers find new ways to do things. And he said in this quote, for the genre to grow, you need new and interesting spins on the game mode. If it just copycats down the line, then the genre doesn't grow and people get bored. So, and apparently it was called out that some of the PUBG clones in China, they're everywhere and they're a problem.
Yeah, that's China.
Well, you're right. And China has rampant, you know, IP theft because it's just, it's China and it's not the U.S. There's not a lot you can do really with that type of stuff. But usually the quality of said games kind of travels around and we kind of know that, you know, they're to stay away from. And this isn't exactly a new thing either, right? Like, haven't we heard like of the Final Fantasy VII on the NES? That was like a hacked ROM thing.
Well, like even more modern, like, you know, there's Overwatch has probably had some stuff.
Oh, God.
Several
clones. Oh, sure, of course.
Yeah.
And then they'll just they'll straight up steal the Overwatch characters and put them in other games. Sometimes that can be funny, though.
Wasn't there also like a Pokemon Go clone that somebody made?
Well, there's
China?
That whole Draconis thing that I played for like a week, which is interesting. Well, the interesting thing about that, even though like it's totally like a copy of Pokemon Go from about a year ago. Like, what's weird is that they stole that, and then they did all new monsters and that whole thing. But then they kind of like added new shit. Like, they were like, but now we have PvP, and we have these portals that you can travel to go to the underworld, which is just the same world, but it's a different color. It's like the upside down in Stranger Things or something, right?
It's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, no, it's actually kind of cool. It's just because it's very clear that this was an outsourced developed game, it's not very well optimized, and it kind of feels cheapy. But some people kind of prefer it to Pokemon Go. I don't, because there's no Bluetooth, and Pikachu's way cuter than Potty, which, yes, one of the monsters in Draconis is called Potty. It's a little fire pot. That's why he's called Potty, but I don't know if the developers realize that a potty is also something you go poo-poo in. So I don't know if they realized that when they translated it.
Does it evolve from Squatty?
I don't know. You'd have to ask the RuPaul podcast about that, because that's not something we pitch here. All right. Anyway. Well, what do you guys think? Loki, what do you think? Because my mind went to the whole, like, I know this is like years old here on OLR, but we did talk many years ago about the whole debate. Remember when In the Groove came out? Was that basically a theft of DDR? And years later, probably a couple years ago at this point, but we actually had, you know, Kyle Ward, who was a big part of In the Groove, actually came on this show. And we kind of got to hear it from the other side because, you know, I'm not going to lie about what happened. At the time, I wasn't very keen on In the Groove. I did kind of feel like it was jacking a lot from DDR at the time. But then, you know, years pass, you get older, sometimes your minds change. And I also see where In the Groove was kind of trying to fill a gap that Konami was leaving out there. And, you know, and I always kind of think the biggest mistake that game made was releasing on PlayStation 2, because when they were in the arcades, they weren't really infringing on Konami's turf because those games weren't legal here. But when they released on PS2, that was the big thing that allowed Konami to smack it down. Anyway, I don't mean to rehash that whole thing because I think if you ask me now how I feel about it, I think my answer would be different than what I would have said 10 years ago when I was like, yeah, 10 years ago I said, yeah, it's not as good. It's a copy of a copy or whatever. But now, like, kind of looking back, I kind of go, well, you know what? Somebody had to do something because Konami was going to let that genre die.
Right.
And so I kind of give props to them for trying to do something.
I mean, I remember being kind of mad in 2006, but a lot of that was I was mad at Konami, and it was coming out at being mad at Roxer. Like, that's like that filter kind of a thing, you know? So.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase sister.
Well, anyway, that's years ago. What do you think? Fast forwarding to now. But I can't help but see things in that perspective, right? Is that I feel like this debate we've kind of had before. But something that was very fascinating from that, you know, Kyle interview, and yeah, some folks in chat are saying, bring him back, bring him back. If he has something to promote, which he does with that Stepmania X thing, I'm sure at some point we will have him back. And he's always welcome back on the show. But if you haven't heard that interview and you're a Music Game fan, like, even though the episode's like 2-3 years old at this point, go fucking listen to it, because we learned a lot about the fucking iron grip that Konami had on that whole genre.
It's from 2015. I want to say August.
It was whatever year I went to PAX East, because that's when we connected. And
I'm sure if you search the wiki for Kyle Ward, you'll find it.
Is there a wiki
for Orange Lounge Radio?
Oh, yeah, there's a wiki for Orange Lounge Radio. I don't know if that's... Oh, yeah, probably. Of course it is. There's the page that has all the episode summaries.
So you can search the wiki for that if you want to find it.
Thank you. But anyway... so that's old, but I can't help but reference that. But going back to the new Loki, do you think, what do you think? Does PUBG need to chill a little bit here, or do they kind of, you know, there are a lot of ripoffs in China, actually. What do you think?
Well, that's just a given that there's going to be ripoffs of that. I think it's not necessarily him complaining about ripoffs from China, because there's that, but I think he's concerned that people are ripping them off like in other games, like, because Grand Theft Auto had their kind of PUBG type game, and then they added that mode to, you know, Fortnite, and I think he's feeling like, well, it was my original idea, and now everybody's going to get a piece of the pie too. You know, I just find that just very elitist that he would consider that he started this genre of game, because I'm sorry, you didn't. I mean, it's fucking Battle Royale. Like, all these games have done this shit before. You just have the current popular version. It's back when, remember, like, even if you want to go back further, it's where they tried to copyright a genre, like Street Fighter versus Mortal Kombat. You know, well, who owns this, you know, the fighting game genre? You know, somebody, oh, that's just a Street Fighter clone, or that's a Doom clone. It's a genre now. And that's, you're just going to have to get used to the fact that there's going to be competition.
You know what's funny when you talk about the genre is, because maybe for somebody like me who doesn't always get into these types of games, I just go, it's a first-person shooter game. Honestly, I think for a lot of people out there, chatters, am I wrong? Does anybody else feel this way? That, like, if you haven't read a lot about PUBG or whatever, you kind of look at it and go, oh, it looks like a Counter-Strike-y Call of Duty kind of thing. I don't know if I'm into that.
I mean, that's basically my take on the game.
Thank you. I know. And see, there are PUBG fans who are going to hear that and go, what a bunch of idiots. But I'm sorry. That's, you know, until you take the deep dive into kind of looking at that game a little more, it just looks like another pew pew shooty shooty game.
I mean, to be fair, I pretty much exclusively don't play shooters. The most I'll do is Portal or Splatoon. Uh-huh. So...
But I see, I'm in this weird place where I can kind of say that I don't usually get into, like, Call of Duty type of games, but, like, Destiny's rad, Overwatch is cool, like, and I do actually understand the difference between what PUBG is and, you know, Fortnite and all this stuff. I do understand the Battle Royale genre, but I know there was a certain period of time when I wasn't as well-versed on what PUBG was, where I was kind of like, oh, it's just another shooty game I'll probably just won't get into.
Yeah, and I still haven't gotten into it.
But I mean, anything with real-time aiming, it's like it's its own genre kind of thing. Like, shooting arrows in Zelda can be problematic for me, because it's still like you have to hit things and they're moving, and I have trouble with that.
Going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. First off, the super sleuths in the chat, we've been referencing episode number 596. So you can Google Orange Lounge Radio 596 from May 3rd, 2015.
May.
So there it is. Anyway, thank you guys. Also... let's see, in chat, Raginator says over at live.vognetwork.com, I was going to reference the fact that before the term first-person shooter was coined, all FPSs were called Doom clones. Yeah, I remember that for a bit, too. But even when Doom first came out...
It's Wolfenstein!
but in more three dimensions than... Because Wolfenstein was really kind of a 2D game in a 3D space. I know that sounds weird to say, but like, if you go into the map editor is like pure 2D. Like, it's blocks, right? But I know, and not everybody's going to agree with what I just said, but that's fine. Let's see. Dungeon Buster in chat says, I might not have to deal with China, but they didn't flip out when Doom Killers and clones eventually came out. They just upped their tech in response. There you go. Bobby Blackwolf points out the Doom added elevation, but you still couldn't look up or down. So whatever. I played Duke Nukem 3D anyway, which was totally different, right? Duke Nukem 3D was a totally different game.
Has my favorite quote in it.
What, your face,
ass? Your face, your ass, what's the difference? I had that as a WAV file I would play in the old AOL chat rooms.
I love it.
Which, by the way, RIP AOL.
Rest in peace, AOL Instant Messenger. You're right. That was the thing that happened this week.
I had all of my usernames that I had as AOL accounts in AIM. And I met my husband that way.
Yeah.
I made a lot of friends who became my con buddies. And I had friends in the Bay Area before I had ever set foot in the Bay Area. So it's just, yeah. RIP.
I definitely did a lot of chatting through AIM. You know, God, probably when Alan and I first got together, it was a lot of... It was all chatting with LiveJournal friends on AIM. And sometimes I was playing the Survivor games and Big Brother games on LiveJournal. It was all through AIM. And now they all moved to Facebook a few years ago. So,
When AOL back in the day extended their screen names from 10 letters to 15, I was the first person to take Queen Emeraldus. Thank you.
What, do you want a cookie?
Yes. I would really like a cookie.
Well, actually, I was the first person that had Mad Tea Party 78 because that was my name. I can say that now because it's not like you can message me. So So there you go. All right.
Sad face.
What was my other? I don't remember. I had like five.
I had Majin Buu for the longest time.
Didn't you just have Dark Sakura?
I've had Dark Sakura for ages, too.
Yeah, you were Dark Sakura on AOL.
But I was Majin Buu before that.
Oh, wow.
On AOL. And then I had like one for Sailor Aluminum Siren. And then, but I also had Dark Ukyo. Because Dan had Dark Ryoga.
See, I was on Prodigy before AOL. So
we called it Buttigy.
But, well, it was Buttigy when I ran up that $70 bill or whatever
and
it was.
And
CompuSuck. Chat rooms.
Yes, Prodigy. I remember that. I was messing with a friend. We were trying to submit like a stupid joke to their joke like forum website thing or something like that.
Yeah.
And that like cost like $60. No, it didn't bam, but it cost like $60 in like fees because it was calling a long distance number or something like that.
Oh no. We had a local number in Roseville or something, so we were able to be on Prodigy for like 4 hours a day, but the problem was when they started opening the plus stuff that cost by the minute, that's when it got dangerous. So yeah.
Look forward to that in 2018.
That's right. Thank
Cost
you.
By the minute you think porn is free now.
that's a really good way to explain like net neutrality importance to somebody over 40. Remember when Prodigy and AOL charged for plus services?
I remember when AIM came out as a standalone program because like all of my friends had AOL and my dad didn't like AOL as an internet service provider for reasons. So like AIM came out as a standalone. I was like, oh, now I can chat with people, you know, that I previously had to email. That was a neat thing to happen.
Did you ever build yourself a quilt out of free AOL discs?
A quilt, because how are you going to stitch together CDs?
Like, cause they came in little cardboard things you could stitch together. Yeah.
I just mostly remember the CDs. The floppies were around, but they were harder to get for me.
One of my friends, who was very crafty and DIY before DIY was cool, tried to make an oven out of AOL CDs.
How do you make an oven?
You get like a high-powered bulb and line the inside of a box with broken CDs.
Why
and
am
it's
I
supposed
asking?
To reflect...
Why did I fucking ask? Like, why? Like, I knew she would... I should have known she would have an actual answer.
Because I always have an answer.
In reality, I don't fucking care. But
you're terrible. What if we lose all power and the only way that you have to cook any food is with a camp stove made out of AOL discs, Rob? I mean, seriously.
It's not going to get very hot because they're plastic.
Guess where all those AOL discs are now? They're in a fucking landfill somewhere.
Well, I'm the only person in this room, I guess, that has survival skills.
Okay,
whatever.
Here's the thing with Dark Sakura is that she would be the one that would be at the high school reunion. Go, yeah, I invented Post-its, and first you thermoset your resin, and when the temperature gets here, your glucose. It's you.
My favorite thing with the AOL CDs, though, is somebody.
I love you, Jamie. Hearts,
somebody organized a campaign to mail them back to AOL.
Yes.
in large scale. Like, he mobilized everybody who's getting all of these unwanted spam disks and said, we'll just mail them back to AOL because if everyone pays his own postage, it's not expensive.
I participated in that.
And I think that's one of the reasons AOL stopped mailing out CDs.
Here's Bobby Blackwolf with a funny joke on that whole thing. Bobby Blackwolf says over at chat, live.vognetwork.com, Dark Sakura, are you saying Rob's house is the Atlanta airport because of the blackout that happened there today?
Because if you die, it doesn't matter if you go to hell or...
No, I think that Rob's house is like the Atlanta airport and that it's a shit to navigate.
What do you mean?
Kidding.
Like one hallway. You just have to navigate around the laundry piles.
At least you don't have, you know, the never-ending escalator.
But you got those shady characters sleeping on seats, so you know.
It's true. Look, there's this homeless guy, Mr. Smush, that
he's
just
not
stays
homeless.
On that, just stays on that chair.
He's got
the
a
whole
pair
time.
Of daddies who love him and an Auntie Jamie who spoils the shit out of him.
Just so you guys know, that cat tunnel that Jamie brought to the show last week for Mr. Smush, he fucking loves that thing. But he can't just be bothered to crawl through the tunnel like a normal cat would. No, he darts through the fucking tunnel. He looks through it and then goes, meow, and like darts through it and then looks through it again, shake, 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 and he makes so much noise. By the way, this all happens at 3 in the morning.
That's what cats do.
My cat likes to play with their Christmas tree and tries to knock it over and... being like another asshole at 3 in the
morning. Did you notice what we didn't bother to put up this year?
Yeah.
Because if you say Christmas tree, because guess where the Christmas tree goes?
To hell.
In the window.
In the window, in the exact spot where Mr. Smush decided one day, I'm just going to knock everything over to get to this spot where I can look out the window. And so if I put a tree there, that tree's going to die.
Important news alert.
Okay. Yes.
Cher will be in Mamma Mia too.
Bitch, where you been? That was announced like 2 months ago.
Oh, I didn't know.
There's Jamie, the conductor of the derail train.
It probably took Facebook 2 months to show it, because you know how Facebook is.
That is true. That is true. That I will accept that answer. All right. Anyway, at one point we were talking about PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, but this being Orange Lounge Radio, that derailed. So let's move on and talk about our gaming weeks, and maybe we can get some video game content on our video game program. Dark Sakura, how was your video gaming week?
I played Animal Crossing and some Miitomo. I'm actually getting kind of tired of Miitomo, finally. I've played some Ingress, but I need more bursters.
This again.
Right? Well, it's those people who try to take over my work. And I'm playing Pokemon Go. I caught a Mudkip today.
Good job.
I heard you like Mudkips.
Yeah.
I was going to post it on Facebook, but I said not to. I did play a little bit of Dragon Age Inquisition, but I put up a poll on Facebook on which MMO I should go back to. Final Fantasy XIV or WoW.
I missed this poll somehow. Facebook. Because it's on Facebook. What's winning?
I don't know, because I'm waiting for the poll to finish. I guess I could go look at it. I'll find it and repost it. But one of my friends, one of her friends, randomly, we ran into each other at the grocery store while my friend was there with us. And their free company person's like, I will buy you an apartment if you come join us.
Oh,
I'm like,
it's a nice gift.
Then again... Void elves.
Why wouldn't somebody buy me an apartment in real life? That's unfortunate.
Void elves.
All right.
But actually, I like my demon spawn better. My demon hunter, sorry.
Anything else for gaming week?
Super Mario Odyssey is still fun.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
How many moony things are you up to?
Well, it's not me. It's Dan playing it.
But you're...
He's mooning everybody.
I've seen you guys play games together before, though.
Dan, I'm more like his navigator.
Yeah, Dan playing a video game is you being a backseat driver the entire
Pretty
time.
Pretty much. Well, that's how we got through Breath of the Wild. Because I'm like, no, the wrong way. No, your other left. It's like he's in band.
You're like the world's worst GPS.
Girl.
All right.
I can get anywhere I want to.
All right, JD wants to comment, and then I'm going to get to Loki's
game. Have you tried playing Odyssey in two-player mode, where one of you does the hat and the other does Mario?
That sounds awful. That sounds like
no,
an awful idea.
Because I don't cooperate well with others.
I basically suggested that to my husband when he was watching me play, and he's like, you're going to be better at this, and you're just going to get frustrated and yell at me, and I'm like, you're probably right.
Accurate.
That sounds like that's married life, really.
It's
one person doing something better and getting frustrated at the other person. Mm-hmm. No matter what, everyone's got different things.
That's the great thing about the relationship Alan and I have when it comes to games, too, because he can play Overwatch and I can go, you know, you're better at Overwatch than I am. Yep. And then he can watch me play something like he can watch me play Mario Odyssey or something. And go, you know, you're probably better at this than I am. And so it's like we each know which lane to stay in, which is great. Anyway, Loki, how was your gaming week?
I actually did play something different this week. So hey. I, aside from just the Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2 stuff, which is really just grinding for the rest of the characters, and I don't know why, because there's not like any unique abilities that any of them have. So I started up, because I've been putting it off for weeks now, I started up South Park, The Fractured Butthole, and that game is awesome. It's pretty funny. It hasn't quite gotten into the story of the game, because, like, you know, with the Stick of Truth, it kind of got into, like, what the actual story of the game is pretty quickly, but this hasn't quite gotten there yet. I'm only on the second day, but it's kind of getting there slowly to figure out, you know, what the twist story is going to be in there. But it's very entertaining, and the new combat system, I actually kind of like it a little bit. It does mix it up quite a bit from the previous game. The only thing I dislike, though, is the fact that there's one point where you dual specialized. And so I picked another specialty that I thought I would like, and now I hate it. And I was like, crap, I wish I had picked something else. But, you know, I guess the only way you can fix that is by playing the game again from the beginning. And I don't want to do that. But I wish I could have previewed what the abilities were a little bit better. But, yeah, I've been really enjoying that, so I'll probably continue playing that. Didn't get around the VR games. Thought about it, though. That's it.
All right. JD, you want to jump in here? How was your gaming week?
Sure. Well, I've been playing Animal Crossing on my phone, and I'm kind of getting a little tired of it because, like, once you hit around level 30, level 35, they stop inviting new animals over, so it's, like, just the same ones back and forth. Although, they just put out an update, like, today where they've started doing flowers, so I'm immediately interested again. I've been doing Pokemon Go, like we talked about earlier. I've been playing the new Zelda Breath of the Wild DLC content, and I'm about halfway through it. And that's been good. And I did Splatfest this weekend, which was, you know, Friday night to Saturday. And
that was the sweaters and socks thing, right?
Yes.
Like, what do you enjoy getting more at Christmas?
I mean, so, like, they framed it as, like, we know that these are terrible gifts, but which one do you like more? And I went with socks because, honestly, I would rather pick my own sweater. Socks are just a commodity. I'll take more of them. You know, they wear out and they're easily replaced. Sweaters, I'm like, I want to have my own style. So I would rather get socks as a gift, but my team lost.
And they lost big.
They lost all three of the things. Like, it was only by, like, 5 to 10% on each dimension, but it's like you lose 3 to 0, and
I would have picked socks, too, for what it's worth.
Right. And then Pearl is mean to Marina because Pearl is terrible, so.
Bitch.
I've also been playing Oracle of Ages on my 3DS because that was on sale the past couple of weeks, and I'm getting around to clearing my backlog on that.
All right. Sounds like you've had a productive gaming week.
Yeah.
All right. My gaming week, then. Let's see. So besides mobile games, we already talked about, like, Pogo and stuff. I've been playing more World of Warcraft Addict, right? But I'm up to level 105. So this character I just started whenever I mentioned I started playing World of Warcraft again. So that's been kind of fun to play through the content again. And I'm at the point where I can do the mobile phone stuff for my missions. So that's kind of cool. But then as far as other games too, I've been playing a little bit on Switch. I played a really cheap game. It was actually like $4 or $5 called Kid Trip, which is kind of like Super Mario Run, but you can, you know, you have a jump button, but then you also have a button to throw a rock, and then the mechanics are a little different. But I mean, Kid Trip is kind of cool, but it gets way too hard, way too fast. Like I'm on like the fifth level, and there's like moving platforms and shit, and I can't get past it, and it's kind of frustrating. So I don't know. That's my only thing is that I wish there was a way to maybe tone it down a little bit, and so I could maybe enjoy the game a little more. But some of the early levels were fun, and I like how like the little creatures when they kill you, like their faces, they'll get all like ha ha ha, I killed you, bitch. So it's just kind of, I like the little flourishes they put in this. Oh, and the game looks very 8-bit, because of course it's the hip new thing to do now is make your games look retro, but it works for this game. Also on the Switch, though, I will mention it's been a big pinball week. Dark Sakura, you need to get in on this on Switch because I know you're a pinball fan. So there's two pinball games that released this past week.
Mm-hmm.
So the Stern Pinball Collection came out.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Stern Pinball Collection, they give you the Mary Shelley's Frankenstein is the table that they give you as like a free download. But then if you want to buy more tables, so Stern Pinball Arcade, that's the one that's real tables being put in a game. And it also has the new Star Trek table, AC/DC, and I can't remember everything else that's in there. But there's other tables, too, that are like newer tables.
Which we could just go to our friend's house and play.
So you would just rather play the real tables?
Kind of. I mean, the video pinball's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, but...
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, in before Jamie says, I prefer real pinball. Called
too
it.
Late.
Too late.
But, I mean, I'm sure Dan would be interested in something like that. I like playing the real thing. I like feeling the table shake.
Yeah, I understand. Well, maybe this other game would be more acceptable for you because also what came out in addition to Stern Pinball Arcade is Pinball FX3, which I've been playing a little more of. Now, the thing about Pinball FX3 is that these are, I don't want to say they're fake tables, but they're not real tables. They were made for video pinball, and because of that, they do things that you can't do in real pinball, like Hydra heads that come out of the machine and, you know, do their thing. It was like playing Pinbot on the NES, where, like, weird shit started happening. But I like that.
I was just
thinking
of Hydra heads and balls, and then my brain went blank.
Okay. Well, anyway, by the way, hot tip, if you download Pinball FX3 before, I think it's Tuesday, so you either want to do it, like, tonight while you're listening to OLR Live, or if you're listening to the podcast on Monday, you want to get it, like, now, because you get three tables free if you do that, whereas if you wait, you're only going to get the Sorcerer's Lair table for free.
On Switch?
They're giving away a pack right now. Yeah, on Switch.
Oh, that's all Dan.
So, but here's the other cool thing, and I'm going to give him props for this, because this is really cool. And I know we talked about this on OLR, but it's one thing to kind of do that, but it's another to see it in motion. They have a vertical mode in it. So when you have your Switch portable, you actually can have the tables in a vertical mode. And I think that's great because obviously widescreen is not really the right dimensions for a pinball table, right? It's like when you play shooter games. It's like all the space is taken up. And I mean like space shooter Ikaruga type of games, right? Like you can't really play those in a widescreen. It's all taken up, right? But the cool thing is with the Switch, you can flip it into vertical mode. And I love that they did that. And I hope this is something that more games will do, like the shooter-type games, to be able to use all the real estate and everything. So that's cool. The controls are a little funky when you're in vertical mode, but you can remap everything. So if you don't like the way it is, you can remap it. I think technically you can have it vertical and still use. Like you can like mount your... or I guess lay your Switch against books or whatever and use a pro controller. And that might be a way to do it as well. But anyway, I really like that they have the vertical mode. I wish the Stern game had that too. If it's there, I didn't see it, but I don't think the Stern game has it, but maybe it's something they'll be inspired to do because of what they see Pinball FX doing. The only other thing I could kind of give a, that's too bad for on Pinball FX. Well, two things. One, none of the Star Wars or Marvel tables came over, so you're not able to play those licensed tables. You can play, like, the Universal ones, so, like, Back to the Future came over, Portal came over. You know, some of their licensed stuff came over, but not probably their biggest ones, the Marvel and the Star Wars tables. The other, the other kind of complaint is that you can link your Switch account to a Zen account, Zen Pinball, right? But it doesn't do you any good because you can't bring over your tables from the PC. So, like, I have a ton of tables on the PC version because I bought a few and there was a Humble Bundle not that long ago that had a ton of them in it. So I have a ton of tables thanks to that. And that does me no good right now with the Switch version. So if I want to play the tables, I'm going to have to rebuy it.
You know, I wonder if you have them on Humble, if you go back on there, if they will have Switch codes for them.
Because
Humble does
it.
That sometimes.
Son, I mean, it's too old at this point. Okay. And this is too new as well.
That might be, but it's worth a shot anyway.
Yeah. So, you know, but I also, you know, I also understand that, you know, many games, you know, you're not going to be able to just carry your content from one platform to the other. So I can't really, like, give the developers crap for that. But it's just, aw, that's kind of a bummer that, you know... Pinball FX is a series that's been running on other platforms so much longer. I've been building up my collection there, and it's kind of a bummer that I can't just import at least some of that. I mean, if I can't bring over the licenses, then whatever. I kind of get that because they have to pay a fee for that. But at least the original tables created by the Pinball FX team, I would hope maybe some more of those could come over. especially the older ones like Tesla and some of the, like, I just, it would be nice, but I guess I can't really fault them too hard for that. So, and Bobby Blackwolf points out Rock Band DLC didn't go between Xbox and PlayStation. They need their cut. Yeah, I mean, so it's like, I get it, but it is, well, but that also, okay, so you bring up the Rock Band thing. That also, like, made me buy Rock Band 4 on Xbox One, even though I probably have more gaming stuff on PlayStation 4, but I wanted to carry my library over, right? So I actually bought it on Xbox One so I could do that. So, you know, sometimes being able to carry your library over is cool. And the thing about the Switch is that because of the vertical mode and the fact that it's portable, it's probably the best version. So that's why it's kind of a bummer that, oh, but I spent all that time building up the PC collection. So that's just, that's kind of where it's a little bit frustrating. But I'm not going to be like angry tweets and all this stuff about it because, yeah, logically, I get it. You know, they are in the business to make money, and they don't make money by giving everything away for free. So there you go. over in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, SSG100 Matt says, you can't buy those Star Wars tables yet because Disney hasn't bought the company involved yet. There you go. Oh, Bobby does point out over at live.vognetwork.com that the two tables they're giving away for free, it's on all platforms, not just Switch. So I can go add those to my PC library and do that if I want to. That might be fun. Dark Tetsuya in chat says, I know a lot of the arcade Switch ports support the vertical mode. I think the Namco Museum games that are oriented that way do. Oh, that's really cool. I didn't realize that. I hope that's a trend they keep kind of going with that. So that's neat. Anyway, there it is. That was my gaming week. So, yeah, pinball and World of Warcraft and some mobile phone games. So, anyway, housekeeping. We will not be here live over the next 2 weeks because next Sunday is Christmas Eve, and I have family plans, as does Loki. I think Jamie does, too. And then New Year's Eve. I know y'all would love an OLR New Year's Eve countdown, but the reality is we have other things we want to do. So our next live show is going to be January 8th. Oh, excuse me. No, I'm looking at the wrong year. Sorry, January 7th will be the next live show. So we'll see you then for that. However, so that our podcast feed doesn't go too long without a little love, we are going to do a show around New Year's Eve because we need to do the time capsule stuff, and we'll probably have some other surprises too. So we will do a taped show. We might broadcast that live on VOG, but if you want to find out when that's going to be, you got to follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR, because we haven't picked the exact time yet. But if I were going to bet money, I would say it's around noon on New Year's Eve, but don't hold us to that until we announce it on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR. Also, I know Anime Jam Session is putting together some Christmassy stuff for the 25th. I don't have the exact time frame on when that's going to run yet, but stay tuned to our Twitter at VOG Network, and you can find that out. I know Rama's going to be doing some ho-ho-hoing on the stream on the 25th. So, let's see. That's it I have for housekeeping, so I guess we're going to get into some other gaming news. And looking ahead to 2018 here at the start, right, Loki?
Yes, that's correct. So, already the registration for E3 2018 has gone public. And so you can actually go register because guess what? It looks like they're allowing non-industry fans and gamers to buy tickets as well. So they're going to be sold in early bird, and they also have regular tickets. And according to their FAQ, it says E3 is now open to consumers and game enthusiasts on a limited pass basis. So that's disappointing.
Which means you're probably going to get more out of E3 by staying home. Because you won't have to wait in lines at home.
Yeah, I mean, recently with all the stuff, it would be cool to play some of these games, but it's just not going to happen. I mean, and honestly, just to wait in lines to play demos for stuff, it's kind of neat to be able to brag to people, yeah, I played that, but no one cares. No one does. And you probably learn more from just watching the press, you know,
yeah,
the press conferences and hearing, you know, the live streams and stuff that they do, because you're going to be able to see all that stuff in more detail than you can just, even if you go there as press and you're not like an IGN or something like that, you're going to get shunned off anyways, and you're going to have to wait, you know, make appointments to see all these people, yeah, to ask them questions that they're not going to answer because they have.
That's, you know, what fucking killed E3 for me right there is the whole like making appointments to see something that's going to be on YouTube anyway. Why bother?
Yeah, there's no point. So I just, I would probably want to take some time off to watch this stuff because it's fun and it's very distracting otherwise. But I mean, I kind of enjoy now watching the press briefings and stuff. And there's, and it seems like each year there's more and more companies not participating in E3. So,
yeah,
you know, who wants to deal with that kind of crap?
I'll be curious what they kind of do to develop the show for the public-facing crowd, if anything. Like, are they going to try to do more, like, I don't know, the Nintendo World Championships type of thing?
Or eSports?
Yeah, or eSports. Are they gonna, what are they going to try to do to make it so that there's more for the public to do? If that makes sense.
I don't know.
I don't know. So we'll see. I mean, there's still some time to develop that because we're still in 2017. But yeah, it looks like they're going to go that same route again next year. I mean, maybe they could do something that would get me excited about E3. I'm not sure what that is, but...
Yeah, I don't know what would really make me say, oh my God, I really need to go. I can't think of anything aside from like a new console launch.
Yeah, maybe.
That would like fucking revolutionary.
I have no reason to go.
Yeah. I just, I want to spend the money to go to smaller game shows where I can talk directly to developers.
I'm still disappointed. Like, I kind of like how they did it, and I understand, you know, developing demos and stuff is kind of hard, but you're making demos anyways for E3. Like, I kind of wish that they would do what they did in 2006, where they actually had, like, demos for games like Lost Planet. They had a demo. Oh, hey, here's our press conference, and now you can play the demo. It's like E3 at home type thing. Like, I wish they would just do that to a limited extent. It's like, okay, hey, we've got these games that were showing off on the floor. You know, and maybe it's not necessarily like big games. It could be indie games even. I mean, just something different.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, last year the exhibitors weren't told that it was open to the public until 6 weeks beforehand. They were not prepared for the crowd. This year they will be. So that could be interesting to see how that dynamic kind of changes things a little bit with the preparation, having this much time to put into it.
It's true.
We'll see. Yeah, they won't be trying to throw things together like they were last time. So, JD, what about you? We're all bitter bitches apparently here at OLR, but you've never been to E3. Do you have any interest?
Well, I mean, I kind of did like 10 years ago because it was all like anyone could talk about. But now I'm kind of like, I don't really like. I'm honestly only interested in the Nintendo news most of the time anyway. Uh-huh. So, like, it doesn't seem like it'd be worth it to, you know, pay a big fee to go see everything. And if I'm only going to go to one area. I don't know. I feel like the trend is each of the major publishers is doing their own thing. Like, Nintendo has their thing. Sony has the PlayStation experience. Like, that just seems to be the way things are going. So why go to E3?
And you know what? If I want to go to the LA Convention Center, I'll just go 1 month before and go to Drag Con.
Exactly.
Because at least at Drag Con, I can get a picture with Tyra Sanchez, no waiting. So.
Well, you can do that anywhere Tyra Sanchez is. I mean, that's kind of a lot of it. It's like, if E3 were held in the city that I live in, I might actually care more. But I have to go to SoCal for that, and that's effort. And if I'm going to go, I'm going to go for something else.
SoCal. Go driving to SoCal is effort.
It is. Well, no, I don't drive, so I'd have to, you know, take Amtrak or whatever.
Or just hitch a ride. It convinced me it's a good idea and hitch a ride.
Is that a precedent you want to set?
Maybe not. Yes, Jamie?
I'm going to DragCon.
Yep, there you go. Oh. All right. Moving on. Let's talk about Soul Calibur 6. This is a game that might be at E3 that I would be excited to actually play, but, you know, I could just wait till it comes out.
Soul Calibur is such a Tekken clone.
No. Soul Calibur 6 had some more revealed in Famitsu to talk about what's going to be in Soul Calibur 6. There was a translation that was done. They say the development is about 70%, and they're talking reboot. Oh, boy. And that will be reflected in the game's story mode. There will be some new characters and classic characters, but you also get guest characters, although, of course, they're not saying who the guest characters are at this point. But we had some of those early rumors, right? Weren't they talking about, like, Fire Emblem characters on Nintendo? And yeah, that was.
I just hope they bring Link back if it's on the Switch, because he was in Soul Calibur 2.
Is it on the Switch? I can't remember.
Well, I don't know if it is. I think
it's PS4 and Xbox One for sure.
Well, they better put it on the Switch, because everything needs to be on the Switch.
I don't know,
though. It's going to be Dad Kratos.
It might be Daddy Kratos, who knows. Anyway, also coming back, critical edge attacks with single button activation, soul charge, you can meter burn in order to do certain attack properties. The character creation mode is set to return. Yay.
What about armor breaking? I want to know for Keeluk. I mean,
I don't think they're saying that yet. So, and Dark Tetsuya says it has not been announced for Switch, at least per the VGA trailer. And probably it's just one of those things where now the Switch's power is holding it back a little bit. So we'll see. Anyhow, also something to consider about Soul Calibur 6. I mentioned it is kind of a reboot. It is going to take place during the events of the first game. So you are revisiting the events of the original Soul Calibur to uncover hidden truths. So kind of interesting. I don't know if they're doing like a Mortal Kombat 9 type of thing where they're like revisiting the same story, but they didn't call it just Soul Calibur. They're calling it Soul Calibur 6.
All I can say about it is reboot.
Wasn't there like also Soul Edge before Soul Calibur?
There
like
was.
There's a complicated storyline.
It is
here.
A complicated storyline. And some of the characters then kind of share with other, like they come from Tekken and shit. So
dude, it's a fighting game. There doesn't need to be a storyline.
Yoshimitsu, but then later guest characters
it was
like
Soul Blade. Soul Edge was the one that came out on PlayStation.
Okay. Mm.
And then Soul Blazer had nothing to do with any of those games. No. That was a Super Nintendo game. It was awesome.
Soul Calibur was the Naomi
hardware
series.
So, anyway, yes, and this other article I'm looking at is confirming PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC next year. Not the Switch. Sorry, JD. But you never know. Always hold out hope. You never know what will happen. The soul still burns. All right. Dark Sagro, what do you have for us?
Oh, some stuff. Basically, modders gonna mod, right? So,
of course,
they have already modded, you know, Breath of the Wild for other, you know, things. I've seen Link in all kinds of weird outfits with, you know, keyblades and shit.
Dong mod.
Well, there's a mod now that changes his bike to Sonic running.
Well, because you got to go fast.
Link writing Sonic is the fanfic I never knew I needed.
Yeah.
And then there's one that I guess turns him into Sanchez from GTA.
It's CJ writing a Sanchez with, I forget the guy.
Okay. Because I
all you had to do was catch
GTA.
The train, CJ.
Oh, and then there's the Roadrunner. Beep, beep.
That's pretty cool. Do you get to, now, that's what they should do. They should make a video game that's like Zelda Breath of the Wild, but it's the Roadrunner killing Wile E. Coyote in all sorts
this
of
so
strange
weird.
And mysterious
and
ways.
And Sonic 1 does this too, but it's like there's like feet wheels.
Uh-huh.
And so it looks really cartoony, and it works while it's in motion, but it's just like he's got like wheels made out of feet. It's just crazy.
Well, isn't that kind of what Sonic has?
Well, I'm looking at the Roadrunner one.
Oh. Well, yeah, the Roadrunner one. Roadrunner kind of looked at that.
Yeah.
You know, there was a Roadrunner video game back in the day.
Yes,
it was an Atari
was
game.
A couple.
There was actually also one on Super Nintendo that, ironically enough, was very much like Sonic the Hedgehog.
The Sonic one looks better because he's got like his hands behind him, like he's doing his real fast run.
Mm-hmm.
That the Roadrunner one was just fucking weird.
Because when I got my Super Nintendo, I was like, do I want Mario Brothers? No, fuck that. I want Roadrunner's Death Valley Rally.
Fuck yeah.
No, apparently Mario Brothers was like $90 or something. It was like it was expensive. Because I bought it used. I bought all that stuff used. I don't know why. For some reason, I would have probably gotten Super Mario World. Maybe it was because I was smart and knew, hey, I have lots of friends that have Super Nintendos, and they have that. We'll just borrow each other's games.
Because
that's what we used to do.
That's smart.
And so I got Roadrunner's Death Valley Rally, and it is very much like a Sonic game.
Okay.
And kind of,
isn't that also one of the hardest games to emulate?
I don't know, but it's a pretty hard game.
I think Roadrunner is, there's something about, like, the boxes don't show up in one of the levels. Like, it's a very rare type of Super Nintendo thing. Or maybe I'm confusing it with an NES game.
No, I think it is. Right.
Yeah. It's one of those games where they say emulators can't always pull it off perfectly, so. All right. Well, that'll be fun. Dark Sakura, any interest in modding your Breath of the Wild for anything?
No. I mean, it's all just with an emulator anyway.
Yes, that's true.
So, which the thing I like about watching other people do that is I like watching like the map zooms and how far out the maps go and, you know, to see how the game's constructed.
All right, let's move on, Loki.
So this isn't really a ton of news, but Obsidian's basically saying that their next game that they're working on will not have microtransactions of any kind. Now, they're basically saying that...
That's kind of great news, actually.
Well, no, I understand that, but, like, it does set, like, an interesting precedent that you know, these obviously publishers out there are aware of the situation people and the gamers' views on microtransactions to where they feel it's necessary to come out and make a statement like this saying, hey, listen, you know, we're not going to have any of that crap. So, you know, they're basically we're showing off, I guess, it's some new project. They haven't really said yet, but it's going to be in conjunction with Private Division, which I guess is Take-Two's new publishing label. And it's going to be an RPG of some sort, which I guess makes sense because it is Obsidian. So, yeah, I'm glad to see that they're not going to try to shoehorn that in like they did with Middle-Earth Shadow of War.
And you know that when you buy the game, you will have the game. That's it.
Unless there's a season pass, because there's no... it doesn't say anything about, you know, that.
Mega transactions are still okay.
You know, season passes, that's fine. DLC is fine. But you know what? I mean, it's an RPG. Usually RPGs are pretty meaty as it is. I don't feel that that's necessarily a bad thing.
But do you think, like, on average, people spend more on, like, a mega transaction DLC package or on individual microtransactions that they continuously buy?
I don't know. See, for me, I only buy the big stuff. I don't like to buy the little stuff.
Same.
But every gamer is different.
I wonder what it's like in the statistical sense. Like, how much does killing microtransactions actually cost them money?
Well, I know with, like, I mean, I don't really play a lot of games that have microtransactions. The only thing that I can think of that sort of did, and I thought it was absolutely ridiculous, was actually Saints Row the third or the fourth. Actually, probably both of them. Where they had a fuck ton of, like, cosmetic DLC that really didn't fucking do anything.
Yeah.
It was just all cosmetics. And that was pretty cheap, but it was still, like, a microtransaction. Whereas they had, like, DLC content for it that, you know, added new weapons and new modes and stuff like that and extended the story a little bit. That I purchased. The other cosmetic stuff, I was like, fuck that shit. I'm not playing that.
Well, it kind of also goes back to, let's say, the granddaddy of this whole fucking thing. Going back to Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion. And horse armor versus, you know,
Knights of the Nine.
Exactly. The vampire mod, or, you know, or the expansion. That was actually Skyrim. But you know what I mean? All those, like, full, like, quest lines and stuff that were fleshed out there. So.
Yes. And, I mean, at least to their credit for Oblivion, they had a ton of expansions, and even some, I think, were free. So,
yeah.
I know at least some came free on demo discs that were with, you know, the Xbox magazine or whatever, so. Hell yes.
All right. Moving on. Let's talk a little bit about Destiny 2, speaking about money. Because Curse of Osiris actually launched. I totally forgot that that was... God, I feel like the PC version just came out. And now here we are already on an expansion. But the PC one was delayed a little bit. So there you go. Anyway, originally, vanilla players in Curse of Osiris were kind of walled off from key content. Meaning, like, weekly endgame stuff and things that you need for trophies and achievements. So, as you can imagine, the community was like, fuck you, greedy bastards. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what it was. Apparently, though, they are listening. And with the next Destiny 2 update, 1.1.1... many of these changes are going to be reversed. Access to endgame content will be available for those who haven't purchased Curse of Osiris. That update is scheduled to have already gone out, so it went out this past week already. So hopefully that is doing well for the players. They did have to take the game down for 7 hours to fix that. So good. So now if I decide to play more Destiny 2, I'm not forced to buy this Curse of Osiris to figure out what the end game is all about. Because I did play Destiny 2 up to like level 10, and then I was like, ooh, shiny, and I played other games. But that's very typical for me in video games, is that, you know, unless it's an MMO or a multiplayer or something, I get, which funny enough, Destiny is kind of both those things, but I still get sidetracked with other stuff. It's just I tend to go where the people I know are playing. And I didn't know a lot of people playing Destiny 2 on PC, sadly. Just like one. Two. I played with our mutual friend, Crystal. I played on that. And then my buddy Delvin from Video Game Realness was the only other person I think I played Destiny 2 online with. So that's it. All right. More stories. Dark Sakura.
This made me happy. And I wish I could play some of the music from the trailer because it just made me super happy. But there's a new trailer for Dragon Ball FighterZ, and it's set to We Were Angels, which was the ending theme for Dragon Ball Z in its original run from 1993 to 1996. God, I can't believe that people didn't get that part of the series until 2001 here. That's crazy just how far behind we were on it. But at any rate, it also shows some other fighters that are going to be in there. So it brings Hit, Beerus, and Goku Black to the series. So that's going to be pretty cool. It looks like it just really kind of does like that Xenoverse thing where it replays like past fights and everything. And I think it's going to be really fun. I'm looking forward to it. But I hope, though, if we get some of the super characters, that we then get, like, Kaba and Cauliflower and all them, because they're fun, too.
All right. You're definitely checking this game out when it comes out, right?
No shit.
Yeah, I know. It's on your, like, must-have list. So
yeah, it's on my Jamie want list.
All right. Just a few more stories for you guys, and then Jamie will want to pick a classic game for you all.
The last one of the year.
The last one of the year.
Maybe.
No, it is. Yeah. No, well, no, because there might be a New Year's Eve one.
So maybe.
Maybe. It might be your last pick, but we're waiting to see how that works out. What?
I picked a good one, though.
You did pick a good one. All right. Until we get to that moment, though, we have a couple more stories. Loki.
So there has been a game that has been removed from Steam. How horrible must it be that it got removed from Steam? Because there's a whole lot of horrible shit on Steam right now, and it's quite amazing that all of that's still there. Well, apparently
it was a game actually called Shit on Steam.
No, it was not. It was called You Must Be 18 or Older to Enter. And it's basically
already sounds like a problem.
They call it basically a simulator. It's simulating being underage and looking at porn websites in the early parts of the internet.
Wow.
And so, well, it's all ASCII. Like, all of the art is ASCII.
Did you say assy? It's all assy?
Well, ironic that you should say that, because the image that they show on the screen is an ASCII, and it is of an ass. So, I mean, it sort of does make, you know, there is a pun there. But, yes, it's basically, it's you explore a series of lo-fi websites, they say, as a first-time porn liker. And then
this is like playing strip poker on the Commodore 64.
To recreate the isolated disorientation, they said that you have to also like basically you have to deal with pop-ups that make loud noises and different like other jump scares, and you have to like look behind you, that type of stuff. You know, making sure that your parents aren't walking up on it. But anyway, so they got the developer that made this game got it. An email from Valve basically saying, you know, your game's been banned from Steam. Of course, you know, he then wrote back saying, well, there's been other games that have had way more, you know, explicit stuff. Like, for example, let's talk about Saints Row again. Saints Row the Third had a whole scene where you fight through naked in a BDSM club. And it had a giant fucking dick bat, okay? There's a giant fucking dildo bat.
That was true.
And
that
like,
was a microtransaction worth the purchase. No, it actually wasn't.
And
was
you can get one for real.
You can get one for real.
Yeah, just check your local Good Vibrations.
Yeah, look forward to the upcoming DDR tournament. But like, and the okay, routine, so, routine Jamie and so, I are going to do.
So yeah, basically, you know, Valve banned the game. They basically, you know, he claims that, you know, it's been more explicit or anything. And a lot of the stuff out there is more explicit than you must be 18 or older to enter. But no one else seemed to care. And then on top of that, you know, they even tried to, I guess, blur some of the images and stuff even a little bit more, but it still wasn't enough. And they just kind of want to know, well, what exactly are the rules then for this? Because it seems like you're offering different standards depending on the game or publisher. Yeah.
What am I allowed to show? What am I not? Do I get to show just seeing, like, titty? Do I get to show?
There's like indie games, though, that have... They're on Steam. That somehow
shower
Steam
with your
through.
Dad simulator.
Oh, okay. Yeah, shower with your dad simulator. Perfect example. Or like even like fucking. There's other games out there that have like, you know, bare chested women and stuff. Or even there's like Japanese games out there. You squirt what? Women down and their clothes come off and what stuff
was,
like that.
What was the game you were playing? I think this was years ago. You were actually playing it during OLR, and it was a game about like you rotated the breasts in different directions.
Oh, I don't know what that was, but that was like a little flash game that someone made. That was funny. It was like a rhythm game. So they had
and you slap the breasts and use the rhythm method.
And so they had like different moves that you have to do. So they had like you had to bounce the tits up and down, you had to swing them side to side, and you had to spin them around. And based on that, you know, you had to do all those moves to, you know, take out the different things coming up before they hit the top of the screen. And so it was silly. But you know, something like they have stuff out there that is violating these rules as it is, and it's kind of unfair. It seems like that they pick on this guy that really, dude, I mean, it's It's very basic ASCII art.
Ragenator points out genital jousting and mount your friends.
Yes, exactly. Genital jousting. It's fucking dicks. Big fucking dicks in the
Big
game.
Big floppy dicks.
Is it because maybe this is an indie game that hasn't... Maybe was genital jousting rated by the ESRB? No, it couldn't have been, because that would have been an AO game.
I think genital jousting is banned from Twitch, for what it's worth.
Yeah, it is.
But seriously, though, genital jousting, okay. ASCII art, which barely looks like anything, and not even really. It's just kind of like, this is supposed to be porn, but it's not really porn, and that's not okay. Obviously different standards.
It's a little surprising to me, because I got recommended a lot of dating sim games that were very straight, and I don't know how graphic they were, but like the way they were advertised, it's like it looks like you're gonna see stuff. And those are on Steam, like those are actually marketed at me, mm-hmm. because I played a gay dating sim, you know, because they have terrible algorithms. So mm-hmm. but that's kind of surprising that it's just ASCII art and they're saying that's too explicit.
It's like it's not even like really good ASCII art. It's like
it sounds like it's the
sort
point.
Of it looks, I mean, like this picture, you can tell it's supposed to be like a guy with like someone bent over him, but like it's black and white and it's ASCII art. And then they have like a little like ad to the side that it sort of looks like a woman's profile, but it's fucking ASCII
art.
But
it might be a dude.
Okay, but I've got to ask, this question shouldn't be important, but it might be. Is it primarily gay content, or is it straight content, or is it both?
I don't know.
Sometimes that makes a difference
really say,
in the censorship.
It says you have they have like, I don't really understand what the game is. So it says you take more mental notes, and it says orgy, German, MILF, anal, and your type. And well, then they have orgy, German, MILF, or anal. And you.
I mean, if it's MILF, it's straight, but... Like, there's a history of gay adult content getting censored more judiciously than straight.
Like,
content.
Okay, like, I'll show you the screenshot here. It's, like, it's really stupid. Like, that's inappropriate.
That is some high-quality ASCII art.
On the flip side, though, this game is now getting more publicity than it would have ever got before. So I would hope that this game is available on itch.io or something, because, like, seriously right now, like, I see people in chat going, I should check this out. Or this game looks hilarious. And it's like, we would have never talked about this game if Steam hadn't banned it. So I almost feel like these developers should just fucking embrace the too hot for Steam thing. And you're going to sell tons. Tons more than you were going to before. Let's be real.
Already have your fucking credit cards on file with a lot of these things. I mean, just put a credit card on file to assert that you're over 18. And then... let the porn flow. I mean, I don't know.
Let the porn flow.
So I'll just point out that the gay dating sim I played did have a censored release on Steam because they have to get around the content filter. But there's also easily unofficial patches where you can put the standalone adult content back in the game. But it sounds like it's difficult to do that with a game built around ASCII art because it's rendering text instead of inserting images.
Huh.
I don't know. Yeah.
But anyway, let's wait 6 months for Valve to see the bad publicity and look at all the money from people buying it that could have been on Steam and reverse their decision. Like,
I don't know if they were charging for it, though.
Oh, if it's a free game, then they're probably less. There's less you can get away with.
Should we invite these guys on the show to talk about porn?
Yes.
So, yeah, the game, it's James Earl Cox the III. Joe Cox and Julie Buchanan. Are the people that made it. You guys, I swear to God.
Love it.
It's
all
cool.
Right.
Like, they even have, like, it's supposed to be an AOL welcome screen. It's like, do your search. You search for porn. People doing it. Sex or fourth base.
Wait, so it simulates AOL chat rooms from, like, the 90s?
Yeah, well, it's all in ASCII art.
What
so,
a throwback.
Like, it would have to be, like through a terminal or something.
All right. Let's take a trip down memory lane when...
Yes, please.
Adult games were sold at adult stores, and they were, like, legendary, and it's like your uncle had a friend who had it, but they really didn't. You just made that up to sound cool.
Oh, so I did find the link to the game, so I will link it in the chat room, because it's on itch.io. Okay.
I knew it. There you go. And they're gonna,
what is
it's a pay-what-you-want game.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
It's actually a really neat little indie store. Check it out. It's cool. There's lots of cool and lots of free games on it, too.
I try not to spend money, but I will.
Well, there's a pay-what-you-want a lot of times.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to pay zero.
Look, here's back when you had to pay $90.
Can I pay
for
negative $50?
Or actually, no. I think tonight's game, you had to pay like $200 for it. The classic game of the week. Darksoccer is going to step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, put down your porn and play this quality
Stop
game.
Stop fapping.
Stop fapping.
Put away the Crisco.
Start yapping. All right, Dark Soccer, what is the game of the week?
Polestar. I've already done Blazing Star. But Polestar is one of my favorite side-scrolling shooters. It was published by SNK for the Neo Geo, Neo Geo CD, and arcade. And as I said, it was the predecessor of Blazing Star. It was also the first Neo Geo game to incorporate pre-rendered graphics. I finally have
some music.
Well, that's why I gave you the minute mark.
Well, you know what?
Anyway, it was also re-released in 2017 under the arcade archives that were developed by Hamster Corporation for PS4 and Xbox One. It is a super fun game. Basically, you have different, types of spacecraft to choose from. You get different power-ups. And the thing that I liked about it is that it did resemble a good bit of R-Type with, the way that your power-ups worked and everything.
This looks a lot like Gradius 2. Like, what I'm looking at is a lot like Gradius 2. With the fire.
It definitely took its homage,
Like, I could play Burning Heat in the background, and I would think it's Gradius 2. But anyway, no, it looks cool, though. It definitely looks like an evolved form of it. Like, not to knock the game, because it looks sweet.
Well, it certainly, though, is, I would say, a product of its time. It came out in 1995. Originally, so it has that 90s anime character styling, where the bangs were just unbelievably set aside and tall, but it really is a very fun shooter. It has different voices that go on it. The most of the visuals are 3D pre-rendered with full cutscenes and pre-rendered movies. And you also, once you have your power-ups, you get a small orb hanging out on your butt. And it can be used to absorb or deflect fire. Kind of like how the one from R-Type is, the little add-on thing. But Polestar it really did get some mixed reviews. Either people super loved it or they super hated it. It across the board, it was people liked the graphics, but still a lot of people said that it just didn't seem very original. And I don't care what any of those people think, because they're wrong. Polestar is one of, I would say, the best Neo Geo games. Blazing Star is better, don't get me wrong, but Polestar is a really, really good game, and it's one that I think a lot of people, if you haven't played it, you're missing out. So there you go.
Put that quote on the back of the box. If you haven't played it, you're missing out. Classic game of the week, Polestar.
If you haven't played it, why?
Well, to be fair, Neo Geos are kind of expensive.
And it just got a PS4.
That is true. Release. That is true.
Although I've understood, though, that for some of the Neo Geo collections out there, watch out for the emulation, because some of them have some weird artifacting. Just saying.
Yeah.
And if somebody wants to find me a Blazing Star cartridge for my Neo Geo at home, I wouldn't say no.
That would be a great Hanukkah present.
It would. I need that for Jumas.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break here, but when we come back, there is plenty more Orange Lounge Radio to come, including your emails, if we have any this week. We actually might not. Also, we're going to get to the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, and we'll talk a little bit about news with the Xbox. We'll talk about a big lawsuit going on. Somebody posted about that to Discord. We'll talk about that, which, by the way, join our Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord. And most importantly, we'll talk about the Golden Girls when we come back after this with more of Orange Lounge Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio live tonight, episode number 711, already in progress for this December the 17th of 2017. It is the last Orange Lounge Radio of the year. Sad face, but, we have holidays coming up, so happy face, I guess. All right, so anyway, let's get into this here. This is something where we actually have another present here in studio. This one, I believe, I don't know
Your
for
sure. Your cat is a gift.
I don't, Oh, Mr. Smush?
He's a gift to humanity.
He is actually like the best holiday.
He's a precious little chocolate cinnamon roll.
Yeah, he's great, except for when he tries
especially
to...
Especially because his face looks like a cinnamon roll.
Especially when he tries to claw things that aren't his. That's when he's not so precious, but that's all right. Mm. So anyway, so I believe this box in studio here is from Act Deft. So we could... JD... I asked JD to open it so that all we had to do is take the cover off and see what it is. So let's do it. Open it. Oh, shit.
Fuck
what is
me.
This? This is like cereal? What is this? You said something about this on a previous episode.
Oh, yes.
He actually sent us...
Hazelnut Oreos.
Hazelnut Oreos from Mexico, which I believe came up in a prior episode of the
he
show.
He sent me some before, too. Yeah. Oh, my God. These are going to be great.
What a nice boy. And he sent...
Because this is the last week I can eat sweets like this.
He sent four boxes. Oh, so we can each take one. I guess you get a Christmas gift, too, JD. How about that? You can thank Act Deft for that. How about that? Or maybe it was supposed to be for Alan. I don't know.
I mean, if it'll fit in my backpack, sure.
There you go. Otherwise, we'll just give it to Alan.
I'll fit this in my mouth. I'm all opening right. it right now. Watch me.
So they're going to watch me. Thank you, Act Deft. That's great. Hazelnut Oreos. Do they have all the crazy Oreo flavors down there that we get up here? Like, oh, they're in like individual serving packs. That's kind of neat.
I actually saw a news article saying we might actually get the hazelnut ones domestically in a couple of months.
It's weird that we don't already have them.
It's, yeah.
Okay, I've never had these hazelnut Oreos. Are you going to give me one?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if I don't usually listen to ladies that tell... Anyway, here we go.
I'll take one, thanks.
The cookie tastes different.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the cookie. Doesn't the cookie taste different to you?
Mm-hmm. It tastes like real chocolate.
Yeah, that's very different. I like it, though.
Maybe it's not made with high fructose corn syrup.
Mm, maybe not. It's made with real corn. All right.
Mm. Mm-hmm. It's so fucking good.
We're breaking all the rules of how you're supposed to do a podcast. You know, they're like, don't eat when you do a podcast. Well, you know what? I'm sorry. Podcasters that think they're better than us. I got a challenge for you. I'm going to set these hazelnut Oreos
don't
down
do
in front of you.
Don't do Patreon, then.
Don't
you,
go there.
Are you going to do the ASMR crunching on the microphone?
Yeah, this is just an ASMR show.
Yeah, you can't hear me crunch.
Okay, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to eat a hazelnut Oreo, and I'm going to do it slow so that I can actually savor every little bite.
That's just annoying.
All right. Anyway.
I don't give a shit because I have hazelnut.
Let's get back into some rapid fire news. Loki, save us by talking about some actual video games.
Okay. So we talked a little bit about PUBG earlier and how they were bitching about, you know, people copying their style. Well, this is one style I don't want copied, and that's, well, the Xbox One version. So apparently, at the very least, you get, if you purchase your Xbox One, starting December 17th, and I don't know how long this is running. I think maybe through the end of the year or something like that. But you'll get a complimentary copy of the Xbox One version of PUBG with your game or game system. So that's kind of cool. At least you get a game. The only downside to that is apparently the game runs like shit on the Xbox One X and Xbox One S. Sub 30 FPS. So
that's not good, considering that this game is kind of like Microsoft's like fucking flagship right now this holiday season. Like, I actually logged into Mixer because they updated on my phone and they were like, oh, it's a whole new experience. So I looked at it. It's like, it's all fucking PUBG. It's all PUBG. Not all, but all.
They have some serious streaming asset issues with the game. I mean, they were showing, I guess, Digital Foundry had done like a whole frame rate analysis of it. And I guess it was dipping on the Xbox One S, I think, doing, like, the skydiving portion or whatever. It's, like, down to, like, 4 FPS. You know, it's ridiculously low. So, that sucks. But, hey, at least it's free. And you know what? It's not always going to be like that forever. I mean, they are going to fix the game eventually, I hope. And it is technically in early access. That's really silly, being that this is a console game, but, you know, that's a new thing that consoles want to do now is, hey! But
it also got nominated for Game of the Year, so...
That's true. It's like, hey, well, I mean, and don't get me wrong, if you want to play the game and you have your choice, play it on PC. But hey, if you're getting it for free, why not? And then, news that will definitely please Bobby Black Wolf. There's been a 2-month delay for Ni No Kuni 2.
He won't be satisfied until it's canceled. But for the rest of us,
so it'll be out on March 23rd, 2018. They don't really list a reason why. I assume it's because their demo was pretty bad.
But did Ni No Kuni 2 get a demo too?
No. But, you know, they're developing it.
Yeah, so. I get it. Well, maybe there was just some fatal error that, because the game would have needed to go gold around this week, so maybe some fatal error.
Well, yeah, originally it was scheduled for the fall and then scheduled for January.
Uh-oh.
And now it's March 23rd.
Uh-oh.
It's pushing it back and back.
Hey, as long as it's quality, a good game is good forever, blah, 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 blah.
As long as Bobby can beat the demo.
Yeah. I think this time they just aren't going to fucking do a demo, and then they'll say, how do you like that, Bobby Blackwolf? Since you complained about demos, we're just not going to do one. You ruined it single-handedly. No, I'm just kidding. It was a terrible demo. The game was much better than the demo. All right. Anyhow, let's move on and talk about Squeenix. This is something I think we all like, is old Squeenix titles, right? Even Bobby can agree. Old Squeenix titles are cool. Anyhow, this was a comment from Yosuke Matsuda in an interview with a publication out of the UK, MCV. One of our other big initiatives is to get as many of our past titles available via digital release. Among the younger generations of gamers, you've got lots of people out there who may have heard of our past titles but have never had an opportunity to play them. So we think that program of porting and transferring the older titles over to newer platforms, such as the Switch, is very important so that people get that awareness of our back catalog. Just straight ports isn't cutting it. We need to update those and modernize them to make something that works for modern gamers, too. Do that port of Final Fantasy IV that was only on the Vita that was really good because it was still like the 2D sprite thing, but it was like new. It wasn't the 3D remake.
Yeah, or even like, was it? I think it was the PSP Final Fantasy games, too. Like,
that's what I meant. Sorry, not PS Vita. PSP Final Fantasy IV.
Yeah, the PSP ones were good because they were still 2D and stuff.
And 1 and 2. Yeah, 1 and 2 were just Final Fantasy Origins, I think, all the way back on PlayStation.
They also had, like, was it like, didn't they have, like, some dungeon or something that was, like, randomly generated?
That I believe that was in 4. They had, like, a random dungeon. But anyway, I doubt a lot of people got to play that on the Vita. Put that version out on the Switch. But I worry that they'll stick with that 3D version that's the 3DS. And it's okay. I mean, Final Fantasy IV is still a great game, but I don't know. I feel like the 3D is too much, but that's my concern there. Anyway, so that's pretty cool, though, and excited to hear about some of the older Squeenix titles. Now, here's my real suggestion, though. Okay, we can talk Final Fantasy all we want. Here's the thing. Squeenix, we call them Squeenix because they're Square Enix, right? How about you fucking dip into the Enix catalog and give us some of that shit? Like, how about the, like, Soul Blazer, Illusion of Toe Gaia? Ball. Do that, or even better, the Busta Groove / Busta Move games, depending on what country you lived in. How about those games reimagined on Switch? That would be cool. So, right, Jamie?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. And how about a new one while we're at it?
Be nice.
All right. Also looking to dip into the vault, Capcom is saying that they are looking to port more games for the Nintendo Switch. This was something that was picked up via Twitter and that an interview that Capcom CEO Tsujimoto did with the Nikkei, saying the home and portable concept works better than expected, and Capcom wants to port games to the Switch that were not available on Nintendo consoles previously. So here's hoping that Disney morning show thing makes it, because I still haven't bought that, waiting for the Switch version. And we know the Mega Man games are coming, so we'll see what else maybe of the old school. How about Power Stone?
What I really want is the Phoenix Wright game that never got released in North America. I realize that's translation and not porting, but that would be nice.
You never know. Never know. All right. And lastly, let's talk about Dissidia NT, because Dissidia NT is coming out January 11th in Japan and January 30th in the West. All 28 fighters in the game have been announced at this point, including the Cloud of Darkness, among some other villains as well. We have Ramza from Final Fantasy Tactics, Ace from Final Fantasy Type-0, and Noctis also got in the game.
Do we get Gold Farmers from Final Fantasy 11?
Here we go. Here's the list. All the characters in Dissidia. From Final Fantasy 1, the Warrior of Light and Garland. From Final Fantasy 2, Furion and the Emperor. From Final Fantasy 3, the Onion Knight and the Cloud of Darkness. From Final Fantasy 4, Cecil, Kane. From Final Fantasy V, Golbez. Golbez was in 4, not 5. Or was there also a character named Golbez in 5? I think this list might be wrong. Bartz was definitely a 5 character, though, as was Xdeath. And then from Final Fantasy VI, Terra and Kefka. From Final Fantasy VII, Cloud and Sephiroth. From Final Fantasy VIII, Squall and Ultimisia. From Final Fantasy IX, Zidane and Kuja. From Final Fantasy X, Tidus and Jekt. From Final Fantasy XI, Shantotto. And that's it, because Shantotto is the only Final Fantasy XI character that ever shows up anywhere else. From Final Fantasy XII, Van. Okay. Square. Why Van and not Balthier or Fran? Or Balthier and Fran? Why?
Reasons.
Square? Why? I want a fucking reason. I'm going to stop this show until Square answers me. No, why not Balthier or Fran?
I'll take what's going to be in the DLC for 500, Alex.
Bing, bing, bing. Okay. Loki answered on your behalf, Square Enix. The listeners have been saved. From Final Fantasy XIII, Lightning. From Final Fantasy XIV, Ishtola. And from 15, Noctis. And then Type Zero has Ace and Tactics has Ramza. I said Ramma. No, unfortunately, Ramna will not be in the game. But Ramza
seriously
will.
Outskilled there. What the hell am I doing here?
He'll kill them all. All right. Anyway, moving on. Let's get to some other news. Dark Sakura for Rapid Fire News.
There is a survey recently put out on about UK video game companies. It says that 29% of them have been damaged by Brexit. That it's really taken a big hit into the gaming industry there. They're saying that this is based off of a sample of 63 game businesses, including small, medium, and large companies. And 29% of the respondents feel like the process has been particularly damaging to them because of how it impacts recruitment and retention. So, bleh. Then again, about 11% of them believe that it's been favorable, but we don't care what they think. So, moving forward, we also have on December 22nd in Japan, there will be a Versus Super Mario Brothers will be arriving on the Switch eShop. It will be 823 yen, so it's about $7.99 in the US. And it will have new and remixed content from the original.
I'm actually kind of excited about this.
Yas.
Because the closest thing we have to Virtual Console on the Switch right now. But it is kind of neat that it's like the arcade one, which is a little harder. You know?
Yeah.
It was a remix.
Yes.
Yes.
And it will be even mixier.
That's right. Let's mix up some release dates and talk about what's coming out to a video game store near you. Although I imagine this week is going to get a little dull, right, Loki?
Yeah. So I'm just going to cover what's up for the rest of the year, since it's really not a whole ton of stuff. And none of these I'm really recognizing except for Life is Strange. So we'll start there. Life is Strange Before the Storm, Episode 3. That's going to be coming out on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. We have a game called Dragon Fang Z, The Rose and Dungeon of Time. That's coming out on the Switch. Defunct on PS4 and Xbox One. Slice, Dice, and Rice. I love that title. I don't know what
it's
it is,
awesome.
But I want to know more about it. That's coming out on PlayStation 4. Blossom Tales, The Sleeping King on Nintendo Switch. Tiny Metal, that's going to be out on PC, Switch, and PlayStation 4. And finally, on Christmas Day, Style Savvy, Styling Star on the 3DS.
That's got to be some weird placeholder day. You don't release games on Christmas
right.
Day.
Right, I don't think it's actually coming out that day. Maybe digital?
It could be a digital release.
I mean, but I doubt that it's that... that's okay. Listen, this is a U.S. release date, you know, site. Why is there a subtitle or a little footnote here saying this release date is only for Japan only? That is misleading, because this is supposed to be for North America.
some
Slice, Dice, and Rice is a fucking amazing name of a game. I am very disappointed.
Sorry to hear it. Well, let's talk about what else is coming out in Japan, because there are some releases still this week. Christmas is in Japan, but it's a little different. There may be cake involved. So, we still have some releases coming out this week in Japan, including on the PlayStation 4, Atelier, Lydie and Sawyer, Fushigi na Kaiga no Renken Jutsu Samurai comes out. That's basically another Atelier game. That is out this week. Okami... Zekai Ban comes out on the PlayStation 4 this week. So that, of course, is the Okami remaster on PlayStation 4. That is also on December 21st. If you are an Idolmaster fan, which I'm sure Loki is, you can look forward to Stella Stage is out this week. And if you are more of a A-Train type of person, if Misty's out there somewhere, you can check out A-Train de Iku, which I think is actually an expansion, or at least they call it EXP. So maybe that's just part of the name. But another A-Train game available on PlayStation 4. It's weird that they don't put those games out here in the U.S., like, or at least try. Like, I guess maybe they just don't want to localize them. I don't know. The Vita still has games. That Atelier game is also out on the Vita this week, as well as a game called Code Realize Shirogane no Kisuke comes out this week on the PlayStation Vita. And then looking over to the Nintendo Switch, that Atelier game is also on the Nintendo Switch. And One Piece Kaizuko Musou 3 Deluxe Edition is also out on the Switch this week on December 21st. And then lastly, on the 3DS, Metarot Classics. There's a Kabuto version, a Kuwagata version, and a 20th anniversary edition. All those are out on the 3DS this week, all from Imagineer. So you can check that out. And those look like Game Boy games kind of reimagined on the 3DS. So that's kind of neat. All right. Let's move on to the UK, Dark Sakura.
There's only one thing with a date on it, and that's December 27th, the SteamWorld Heist on Switch.
There it is.
That's it.
All right. Well, let's, Rage said he resent an email during the break, so I don't know if you want to jump in the email bag or whatever.
I'll try if I can get it to work. Remember, it wasn't working.
That's true. It wasn't working. I have it here. I can always read it if we need to, but we are going to take a trip into the mailbag. When you guys send us emails, participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send us emails.
I have to get logged back in.
And Dark Sakura will usually dive into the mailbag head first and find some emails to read for us tonight.
I had it closed. And
we're going to get this one email here, and then I will encourage you guys, of course, to email us. Even though we're not going to be live for a few weeks, we can always read your email when we get back, and we do have a bonus show that's going to be
two
happening
emails
during the break. Okay, great.
Yeah, so starting from Raginator. Hi, all. It's Raginator. I just wanted to give you all a quick heads up. As you probably noticed by now, I'm not in chat to listen to Bobby's or your shows. Unfortunately, that can't be helped. He wrote king, but I think means long, and short of it is that my video card issues have gotten far worse, and my PC is currently and effectively unusable until I can come up with the money to get a new video card. The fan on my current one completely died. Just to get something that I know will work in my PC and is relatively cheap, I'll be getting the same thing that's currently in my PC, an NVIDIA GeForce GT 610. However, it will take some time to gather up the money and get one. That being said, for the time being, I will have to rely on my local library's PC to access the internet and whatnot. I try to rejoin the VOD community as soon as humanly possible. As an aside, seeing as how I really can't do anything online from home for the time being, Dark Tetsuya is pretty much in charge of the Raging Deals Steam group until things are back up and running at home. Anyway, I'll take care and talk to you all soon, hopefully.
Well, he's in chat now, so he must have been able to fix some of those issues, but that's probably a good call is to just go for it. I mean, the video card technology changes so fast that, like, buying what you have now is probably going to be cheaper than what you paid for it then.
I may still have my old card, which is a kick up from that.
Oh, there you
and
go.
And I'll talk to Dan about making you a deal on it.
Ho,
or
ho,
something.
Ho. There you go.
We'll see.
All right.
It's, I think, around like that same era of GeForce, but it's like one of the black editions. So It was pretty okay. I was running WoW on it and all the stuff. So.
All right.
All right. Hello, LR. Well, hello, YYR. In last week's mailbag, Robert M. mused about the possibility of an intense horror game in an arcade. Guess what? This already exists. If you're in North America, get to your local Dave & Buster's and play Namco's Dark Escape 4D. It's a closed booth, first-person, two-player mounted gunrail shooter that uses 3D glasses for... And it just reloaded the email. Weird.
That's weird.
And features tons of jump scares, loud noises, and even blows air on you. It's quite difficult, but worth a playthrough.
Wait, so YYR is recommending a game that will literally blow you. Ba-dum-bum.
The future is now.
Yes, that's right. Wow, I live in the future.
Dave & Buster's isn't the only place you can find Dark Escape 4D. but it's the most common. The game is at all of their locations, but it will also be at other large arcades such as Round 1, and I've seen it in a random bowling alley too. You should hopefully be able to find it wherever in the world you happen to be. Enjoy, Aaron YYR.
Well, thank you for the tip, because obviously we didn't think of it, and I had no idea something like this existed.
Remember the AKB48 game that we played at Round 1?
Yes.
Oh, that game is terrible and wonderful. Just...
Is that also a survival horror game that you recommend?
If you want to laugh your ass off.
That's the one where they're like zombies, right?
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
They're like still like, you know, for people who don't know, that's a girl group in Japan. Mm-hmm. Like they're performing their number and you choose like one of them as like your friend or something. And they will just like in the middle of their number turn zombie and try to eat your face. Like it's the most surreal thing.
That sounds hilariously bad. I kind of love it.
Did you play it?
No, I didn't. You guys were off giggling and playing it or something, and I went and played something else.
Yeah, it's
I was probably playing the gigantic keyboard game that gives you tickets.
I love that
game. I love that game because I just... Oh, my God. I have to share this. Act Deft.
Kitty in a bed.
Please get a picture of that. Okay, yeah. So we opened Act Deft's present, and now Mr. Smush has decided to co-opt the box and use the box for himself. Okay. So just so you know,
I got a picture.
You did get a picture. Can you like tweet it out and I'll retweet it or something?
Let's see if it's back.
Okay, that's hilarious.
My flashlight is not working.
SSU 100 Matt says it's his box now. So there you go. Yeah, send me. Tweet out the one where he's sitting in the box. If you got that, JD.
Yeah.
All right. Looking in chat over at live.vlog.
Mr. Smush, we love you.
You people are just renting it from him. I will use this opportunity to give a cheap plug to Mr. Smush's Instagram account. You can actually follow Mr. Smush on Instagram. Mr., that's spelled out MisterSmoosh. I almost said Smoosh. Mr. Smush. There it is.
He's back.
Okay. Get a good picture from Smush's Instagram. All right. Now that Mr. Smush has derailed the show... Again, let's get back into some gaming news. Email us, participate at orangelaundry.com. Meanwhile, Loki.
All right, so Crytek is actually suing the German, I guess, the developer for Star Citizen. So apparently Cloud Imperium Games, they said that there was a breach of contract. So it's basically, there are lawsuits alleging that Cloud Imperium Games... breaches contract with Crytek that was created when the two companies, I guess, had partnered to create Star Citizen. And then, I guess, with that, they're saying that apparently because of, I guess it has to do with the engine, because they did put some money, I guess, towards the game being developed using the Crytek engine. I guess in exchange, Crytek would provide marketing and engine support for, you know, their game. I guess over the time, I guess the relationship between the two companies broke down, and now the engine has they've switched up the engine, so now it's switched to Amazon's Lumberyard engine, which is based off of Crytek's engine. And because I guess so now they can't really, they put marketing behind the game, but now that they're not using the Crytek engine, it's kind of like a waste of money. And so there was an agreement that they were going to use their engine. They didn't. And so, But I thought Lumberyard, did that get discontinued? I thought Lumberyard was gone. I could be wrong though. There's so many engines out there that come and go, but I swear Lumberyard I thought was gone. I remember I downloaded it. And then I was like, okay, I don't give a shit about this anymore, and never looked into it. But that's kind of disappointing, but, you know, disputes happen. Is Star Citizen coming out anytime soon, though?
Like most games, they're usually under construction for a while.
They've made quite a bit of money from all the crowdfunding, but, yeah.
Yeah, right. All right, well, we'll see what happens. Oh. Jamie's trying to airdrop me files in the middle of the show.
Well, I'm going to send you the adorableness the smushter.
I'm going to tweet it out on the OLR account as soon as I can, but I have to read another story here. Oh, you did? Oh, good.
Yay.
All right, let's talk about Xbox Party Chat. I remember when Xbox Party Chat was awesome because you could do Netflix over it, but they got rid of that a while ago. However,
no fun allowed.
No fun allowed. Well, now you can have more fun with your phones because a new beta of the Xbox phone app has released, and this will allow you to do party chat on your mobile device. so you can chat with your Xbox party on your mobile device, which is how the Nintendo Switch app works, but it's still built into the console too. So the Xbox app is available for both iOS and Android. The new beta, however, right now is only on Google Play, but for all we know, it could just be going through iOS certification. It might still show up there. You can chat with your Xbox party even when not at a console. So what's kind of cool about that is that, you know, if your friends are gaming on Xbox, you can join the party from your mobile device and talk, you know, in the car, something hands-free in the car or something like that. So there's nothing official that's come out from Microsoft on this yet. This is mostly because of Reddit has spotted this feature. So we don't know if, because it's in beta, maybe they're not officially
Another thing, too,
yet,
which would come in handy, not saying a lot of people play the game, but... You know, certain games like Minecraft are cross-platform, and so you could play from your mobile device with people that are on Xbox. So you could party chat while playing Minecraft cross-platform.
And you can I wonder if you can crash other people's games and just go on your mobile phone device and start screaming hysterically at people. But I guess that's just regular Xbox Live, isn't it? So. It's not really
Xbox Live
different.
Simulator. Is that a game? I'm sure that's a game.
That should
that's
be
probably
a game.
Been a game. There
that,
has to be.
That could be the safe version because you can, you know.
They'll just ban it off Steam
don't
for being
show a
too
titty.
Pornographic. And so, you know.
All right. Just a few more stories for you guys before we get to our Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. But first, Jamie.
Oh, I love your cat.
Me too.
That is the best little pussy ever.
I can't wait to crop that quote and use it out of context. All right.
Okay. Autodesk, which I kind of have a bit of a history with them because I used to use Maya a whole lot for 3D rendering. But their Stingray game development engine is being discontinued, which as far as I knew, there was a decent amount of development being, you know, done on it from time to time. But the software is actually still going to be included with the Maya LT subscriptions for the time being, but they're no longer going to be doing any development or updates or sales on it down the line. And this is coming right after Autodesk laid off pretty much a bunch of people. So sad. Yeah, they laid off about 13% of their company.
Layoffs are no fun, especially this time of year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I knew a few people who had worked on a few things in Stingray, so
sometimes
RIP.
Sometimes you want to hold on to those old engines that you know how to use, you know? I know how that goes. Look at us using Shoutcast to podcast all these years later. Twitch what? All right. Loki.
All right. And so this is really random, but I guess that they're adding the Predator to Ghost Recon Wildlands for a few weeks. So beginning December 14th and running through the beginning of January, you can play a special challenge where it's either you or up to a group of four will have to survive the Predator. That's neat, I guess. That's kind of random, but neat. I hear it's not very good, but it's a neat idea.
So why not put the Predator in it? Just because.
Just put the Predator in there because, you know.
Does your game need a little boost? How about the Predator?
How about the Predator? Worked for hey, it worked for Mortal Kombat.
That's right. Why not put it in Mario Odyssey? Even though that game
Predator really should be in all the games.
That's right. Just put the Predator in everything.
Animal Crossing, Predator.
Come on, listless right now. Game that needs the Predator added to it.
I mean, you joke, but the Predator also crossed over into Archie Comics like in the 90s. Like, that is an actual thing that was published.
Will the Predator show up in Riverdale then?
Probably not, because Archie's crossed over with a lot of unexpected things like that,
that's
so
true.
Probably not.
Is Casper the friendly ghost in Riverdale?
I don't watch the show.
I don't know. Not yet. Josie is, and I think they're going to add Sabrina.
We need Melissa Joan Hart to show up as Sabrina.
Well, but then I think they are actually doing a Sabrina show on the CW, but they're doing it. They're not. It's not going to be like the ABC show. They're doing it that whole like dark comic style like Riverdale is.
I would watch a Sabrina show like that.
Yeah. So quick, guys, in our chat, let's do like a – we won't do a real list, but if this were a list, what would be the game? Game that needs Predator added to it.
Prey.
Predator and Prey?
Sure. Dance Dance Revolution.
Dance Dance Revolution. You better dance faster, you son of a bitch. I'm going to kill you.
DOA Beach Volleyball.
Dead or Alive Beach Volleyball.
Silent Hill.
Super Bass Fishing.
Bass.
Bass. I don't know why I said bass.
Bass.
Yeah, I know. DDR bass. Super bass revolution.
Although, now that we're on this tangent, super bass fishing would be hilarious, where you try to catch fish using like a subwoofer, and you have to have like these jalopies with giant ass subwoofers just knocking the fish out of the water. That'd be hilarious.
Just when you don't catch the fish, you just hear a little boom, 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 boom. But like a little bass.
The licensing for that song from Nicki Minaj would be like, would torpedo that project.
Okay, some comments from chat. SSU100 Matt says, Predator cooking mama. Cook the right meal for them or they'll kill you. That's great. Dark Tetsuya says, Loki, that's an amazing idea. Very good. I like that. Predator cooking
what
mama.
What if you had Predator as like a skin for like pro hunting? Like those hunting games?
Mm-hmm.
Except you could switch from the gun to being the predator.
Like, so you're saying like Cabela's?
The game hunting. That's like in every Walmart in America?
Yeah, but what if they did like a predator game like that where you go around like hunting people?
Okay, I like that.
You have like little claw controllers?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's like you combine the claw game that's always right next to the Cabela game at every Walmart.
Not that, but you have like little hand controllers that are the claws.
That was my attempt at a joke. All right, let's see.
You know me, I have an answer for everything.
Bob Coffee suggests 1-2-3 predator. Fail the mini game and you die. Let's see. VidPower says Predator is a robot master in Mega Man. Dungeon Buster says Predator right, Ace Assassin. Objection! Kill you.
Hold it.
And lastly, SSG100 Matt says Predator Spice World. It's just the same game as Spice World, but with Predator heads. Let's put another Predator through her paces.
I would love it. Like, it's just like you have like a game or a movie like that, but it just, they never acknowledge that it's the Predator. It's just like another person there. It's just never acknowledging that there's this giant alien death machine. It's just.
I love it. All right. Well, there's only one more character that could make your game more awesome than adding the Predator to it, and that would be adding Betty White to it. That's right. Let's talk about the Golden Girls here at the end of the show, because apparently, there is a game that's being developed at somebody's little side project called the Golden Girls Take Manhattan DX. And apparently, this game is something you can read about on Tumblr. So the creator of this game is located on Tumblr at Grawly, grawly.tumblr.com. And apparently, this person is a software engineer at Midboss, who is the company that made 2064 read-only memories, which they just kind of stealth dropped on the Vita during the PSX. So anyway, Golden Girls Take Manhattan is something that's been a project since January 2017. And basically, you guys, it's Golden Girls meets Persona. That is what this is. And for some reason, you kill Mr. Baseball, and there's Kevin from Home Alone that Sophia has to kill for I don't know why. And for some reason, Stanley, which is Dorothy's ex-husband, is in the corner saying, fuck him up, girls. So I mean, why not?
I don't know what that all is, but
why not? Apparently, this started as a silly joke, but now, like, it's a fucking, like, concerted effort. Although, I mean, if they release this, they're not going to be able to charge a dime for it, because, you know, they license the Golden Girls for everything now. They license Golden Girls. There's Golden Girls Clue, Golden Girls Monopoly. Like, they fucking know that everybody loves the Golden Girls, but, you know, it only took 30 years for them to have their day.
Then why wouldn't they license this to, you know?
That's a good point. That's a very good point. So anyway, there you go. So if you like Persona and you like the Golden Girls, or shit, how can you not like both? This game looks like it's something up your alley, and I hope it happens. I hope it's able to be released in some form or another. So there you go. Maybe Grawly will listen to this show and sneak the Predator in there too, just because. Just because. All right.
You should invite him on the show.
A man can. I will.
Have talk about the Golden Girls.
Okay. Do you think I'm going to fucking say, if somebody comes here, I need to talk about a Golden Girls project? Come on. I'm not. Don't even finish the sentence. Golden Girls, you had me at Golden Girls. You had me at St. Olaf. All right. We'll share some cheesecake. Talk about games. Speaking of talking about games, you can give us a call on Skype right now. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype.
St. Like Olaf's Row. St. Olaf's Row.
I like that.
What do you do? Just like run off with people's tractors?
What wouldn't you do?
What wouldn't you do? You'd kill everybody.
Suplex people. I mean,
I mean, I'm sure you could use Character Creator to basically make Sophia Petrello in Saints Row.
Well, you know, there's that wonderful game from Media Molecule called Dream coming out, and if it's your dream, you should be able to make it.
That is my fucking dream, actually. It's like you guys were in my head just then to have the Golden Girls killing everybody. That is my dream. Any last-minute stories, Loki, before we get to our Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype?
It's just Loki that has last-minute stories.
Oh, do you have last-minute stories?
No.
Because you never do. That's why
I did last week. The Animal Crossing garden was me. And JD, look, we have them today.
JD, do you have any last-minute stories?
I don't.
All right. Now that I've considered everybody, Loki.
I don't have anything last-minute, unfortunately. It's been a pretty slow week.
A little bit. I was expecting this week's show to have like no news, and at least there's like a little bit. But
remember, no news is good news with Gary Gnu. And are we like the only people who remember the Great Space Coaster?
Yes. All right, let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Raging Eater.
An email and a phone call tonight. Well, what's on your mind, buddy?
Yeah, well, I honestly didn't seriously think I would be able to listen in tonight, you know, live and be in chat and all that.
Glad you made it.
Yeah, like you said in the email, I've been having computer problems. I kind of sort of got my computer to work, albeit barely. It's kind of like essentially the computer version of a coma right now. So,
what's on your mind tonight?
But anyway, I have a question for you. It's not sort of, you know, not really gaming related, but it's kind of like tangentially.
It's the holidays. What the hell? Yeah. What is it?
Yeah. All right. Well, it helps if I put something in chat, a link, because I'll be referencing the link.
Okay.
You may want to bring it up in your personal web browsers.
All right. So for the podcast listeners, because the podcast listeners aren't going to see the link, I'm getting a link at Newegg for a gaming PC that's out of stock right now.
Yeah. That's a computer I have. Now, okay. My computer has an NVIDIA GeForce GT 610. And right now, basically, the video card is more or less pretty much dead for the most part. Now, to be completely honest, out of everyone within the VOD community, I'm probably the least tech savvy out of everyone here. I just barely managed to put new RAM into my computer when I first got it. How I figured that out is beyond me. But that being said, now if you were in my shoes, would you, if you were to buy a new video card, you know virtually next to nothing about switching out parts and what that, would you get the exact same card that you currently have in your computer, knowing that, hey, it'll be compatible and it'll fit within your case? Or would you take a slight gamble, maybe a slight upgrade, and maybe it'll work, maybe it won't work?
That's a good question. Here's the thing, though. Here's the challenge. This is why usually you want to kind of stay away from the all-in-one box computers anyway. Yeah. But yeah. I get it. Like, sometimes that's the cost affordability option. And I think that's also a big, big factor in what you're talking about. Is I know you referenced it in your email, too, is that, you know, you have cost things to consider as well. So I think with that being said, you probably just want to stick with what you have. Until you can kind of save up maybe to build a computer that's, you know, got a little more beef in it. But this computer doesn't exactly sound like it's a slouch, though. I mean, it should be able to handle a stronger video card.
The fact that I've been having issues with the card aside, this card that I currently have is relatively old as far as video cards go. I've been able to run games pretty easily for the most part. The only game that I've had problems with running is the free version of Killer Instinct, which was released on the Windows and Xbox One. There's a little bit of a frame rate issue with that, but aside from that, yeah, it's been working well. So
Well, our chatters are helping out a little bit here, and they know a lot more, especially than I do. So Rama is jumping in saying, a video card should match the chipset for better performance if it's AMD or NVIDIA. But granted, nowadays, that's a moot point, but it's something I always go by. SSJ100 Matt has a great website. I don't know this site, but I take his word for it. SSJ100 Matt suggests a website called pc-specs.com. Yeah. If you use that site, it's going to tell you what components are compatible with your computer. That's a great idea. I would say, yeah, if you got like a thing you can kind of test like that, that is probably going to be great. So, give those
now,
a try.
I do have one final question regarding video cards, and I'll free up the lines for other people to call. I know, at least with NVIDIA graphics cards, multiple companies now make the cards, and there's slight variations therein. Now, if I were to get if I were to buy one of those GeForce GT 610s, do I really have to make sure I get a specific one from a specific company, or can I get anyone so long as it's a GeForce GT 610?
I don't think you need to.
They're really all the same. I mean, the only difference between those usually is just how fast the chips are clocked and maybe what kind of how much RAM's in there. But all that's, I mean, there really is not going to be much of a difference between any of them. Just buy the cheapest one you can find.
Oh, all right.
All right. This is going to end our call for help with Leo LaRoberts right now. So thank you very much, Spazinator, for the call. Take care.
Take care.
Yep. All right. Bye-bye. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, if you'd like to give us a call. Or if not, I guess we can just get back to talking amongst ourselves. I think
so.
You have another.
It turns out I
story.
Do actually have a late breaking story.
Well, how about that?
So Team Ninja has announced to stop developing the Dead or Alive series on their live stream.
Wait, they're no longer developing it?
That is what this Twitter post says.
Wow.
Yep. So I guess that's no more volleyball.
Rest in peace. That's, wow, I want to know more about what went into that. Are they just making something else? I mean, Team Ninja isn't folding, right? So
it sounds like they're just going for other directions, but I didn't watch the live stream. I only saw one Twitter post about it.
Interesting. Let's get to the phones. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on, everyone? It's Ranma.
What's up, buddy?
Not much. I just finished watching one of my favorite holiday movies as a glorified musical, so I have a question for everybody in the studio.
Okay.
What recent video game that you have played that you will love to see as a Broadway musical that is so tacky, so bad, but it still be a guilty pleasure for you to watch any time of the year?
A video game that should be a tacky Broadway musical.
Literally every game I play.
Literally every game you play. Splatoon is
oh
what
my god!
Plays.
Can't you imagine?
Splatoon, actually, yeah, that would be actually kind of fun, especially with that kind of music, like the ska with music.
The musical style plus just how much character like the narrators have, like Callie and Marie and...
Callie, Marie, Marina,
Pearl,
yeah, why not? That would be fun.
I've got two.
Okay.
One's not out yet, so right. I'm going to start with the one that is out. No More Heroes.
Okay.
Would be fucking balls crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one that's going to top that, of course, obviously, is going to be Death Stranding, because what the fuck would that be as a musical?
My two answers would be Super Mario Odyssey, because, you know, the one with the Pauline singing and stuff would be fun, be a little jazzy. And then my other answer, which I thought Loki was going to steal this, would be Saints Row. Hello, that would be a hilarious musical.
They've done a Saints Row musical, actually. Saints Row.
Then the script is already fucking done.
I think the one I would have picked would probably be Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney.
How about you, Dar Sakra? Video game that should be a Broadway musical.
I would say Breath of the Wild, but that's too easy. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to pick Animal Crossing.
But it has to be all in that meow. Language.
I've brought you a fish. Thanks for 500 bells.
Well, how about
Sparkle?
How about a Broadway musical based on The Sims, but it's in Simlish?
No, no, no. It has to be Animal Crossing, because The Sims have already done, like, the redoing the songs.
I can't wait for the Rossetti song in that one.
But it'd be like, I need a new catchphrase. Okay, it's Ass Munch. Thank you, Ass Munch.
Rossetti would start after the intermission. I think that's what should happen, is that at the end of part A, the curtain just drops, and the Rossetti shows up after the intermission to give a long lecture about, you lazy assholes, when you come to the theater, you should be able to sit through the whole performance, and you shouldn't just stop things in the middle of it so you can get a diet soda. Don't you know the diet soda is bad for you? And just go on and on and on like Rossetti does.
We need to start workshopping this.
That's right. There you go.
And then we'll have Lyle trying to sell you insurance on your way out.
So look forward to Animal Crossing the Musical, Rama.
Oh, and basically everyone at the concession stand has to wear Nookling masks.
And I think the whole thing has to be who fucking dug the pitfall in front of Barbara's house.
Rob. Who hit Ed with the shovel? Well, I didn't have a bug net yet, so I hit him with a shovel. Oops. He's dead now. Anyone want some glue?
How about some chat answers? VidPower suggests Danganronpa the Musical.
Oh my god.
That would be amazing.
Bob Coffey says Metal Gear Solid the Musical. It's just a cardboard box moving slowly down the stage. Tiger Claw says Mega Man the Musical. Too many characters. Come on, Kylie Minomis says, how about a Stardew Valley musical? Well, that's a pretty good one. I like that. Tiger Claw says, how about World of Warcraft as a musical? Let's see. SSGA100 Matt says President Cat the Musical would make more money than the game did. And Undertale the Musical. Of course. Oh, God. There'd already be a built-in Tumblr base to go see that. By the way, Fifth Dream is following up on what you were talking about with the Dead or Alive thing, just quickly here. The developer explained Dead or Alive 5 has finally come to an end, but the Dead or Alive team is very active. It's time to stop what we're doing for now and look into the future. So
that
doesn't
sense.
Really
okay.
Rule out Dead or Alive 6. That just means no more costumes, which actually, did you see some of the dude costumes in Dead or Alive 5?
No, but we'll trade images
please,
later.
Please go look them up. Thank you.
All right. That definitely, well, that's what happens when you use Twitter as a news source.
Well, Rama, I'm going to flip it on you. What would be your video game musical?
Overwatch.
Oh, Overwatch. Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, that's right. There was a Saints Row musical, Buggy Saints Row. And that's fucking amazing. And yes, I would love Buggy Saints Row as a musical. Go look it up. I'll link it in chat.
There was. I remember back in the All Games days at one of those E3s that was at the big arena thing in Santa Monica, they had a Mario Brothers opera. So somebody's kind of tried it. For what it's worth.
I will point out that some... Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah. SSG100 Matt points out the indie game Dominique Pamplemousse was the musical game. That's right. That was a musical. It's a musical game.
And it was stop motion.
Yeah, that was a pretty... That's a fun
one.
I'm
looking up some of these costumes, and they're pretty crazy.
Good times. All right, Rama. Well, that was a fun question. How was the Christmas Story musical? Should I bother watching it, or?
The best way I described it is it's Street Fighter bad but good.
Street Fighter bad but good. Okay, that's like. But
I enjoyed it.
You understood they were not remaking the movie, right?
At first, but then I was watching it and I totally forgot that there was a Broadway musical that I wanted to see so badly.
Yeah.
But Joe's got to take in consideration that I'm a little biased. You're talking to somebody who sits here and watches the Christmas Story marathon, at least parts of it, when they run it for 24 hours. I have the 30th anniversary DVD on my shelf that I watch every year. I have a Blu-ray of the movie somewhere in my shelf that I watch. And I also have the terribly bad A Christmas Story 2 Blu-ray that I also watch. You have to understand, this is my guilty pleasure film.
Now, here, do you know one of the next musicals that Fox is going to be doing? I don't know if they advertised it, but do you know it is scheduled to air in January of 2019? Do you know what they're doing?
No.
Rent.
Oh, my God. This will not end well.
Yep. So just look forward to that. Fox brings you... The studio that brought you A Christmas Story Live and the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which was really the Rocky Horror Show, and they would have had a lot more people on board if they just had said it was the Rocky Horror Show on television. If they'd done that, it will be bringing you Rent live in 2019, I'm sure. many people are thrilled to hear that.
They just need to have the Rocky Horror Show, but as like an actual serial show, like the Muppet Show.
It's the Dr. Frankenfurter Show.
You should open one of the times you're hosting Rocky like that.
In a full Kermit
thing. Yeah, it's a whole Muppet Show parody. That'd be hilarious.
You know what? The word time set something off for me.
Yeah.
Our time capsule.
We'll do it the first show you're back. If you're here for the New Year's thing, we'll do it then. If not, we'll do it the next show.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to do it tonight. The year's not over yet.
Fine.
She wants to open Christmas presents early, and we can't do that. All right.
So, speaking of Mega Man.
We still can't do it.
For the people that wanted a Mega Man musical, if you look on YouTube, there's this guy who's done like lyrics to music to like.
Oh yeah, Brent. There's Brent Frost. So, or listen to every Mega Man album.
So I mean, it doesn't exactly exist in musical form, but like that's a taste of it.
There you go.
I've done a lot of Brent Frost stuff for Fortune Cookie.
A lot. She's done a lot. All right, Rom. I'm gonna let you go, buddy. But thanks for the call.
Rom.
What?
I just want you to know. You have said some really funny, outlandish things to me, and I've bounced it back to you, and we go back and forth.
But
after what you just said about Fox doing Rent, I'm just sitting here with my hands clasped, my face sitting on my clasped hands, just staring at my desk like Gendo Akari. I'm just like...
Okay, this is what the gays call clutching your pearls.
I wouldn't call this clutching your pearls. It's like... I'm thinking when this happens, we should go down to the studios and just be there just in case if we have to clean house.
Or I'm just not going to turn the TV on. It'll probably be on a Sunday night when OLR's going. And let's be real. Like, this show ain't going to stop till Comcast blocks our internet thanks to net neutrality getting fucked. So there it is.
I'll send you some of my Verizon fiber. I'll put some support out.
All right. Take care, my friend. Thanks for the call.
Enjoy.
Bye. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if anyone else wants to sneak through. Meanwhile, anybody else in the studio have a tidbit, something for us to talk about?
No.
No? Dying down there? Let's see. I'm looking at chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Let's see. Brad from Pod Culture has some strong feelings saying, A Christmas Story is the fucking worst movie ever. I worked Suncoast during the holidays. That goddamn DVD was always in. It needs to die. There are people that feel strongly about A Christmas Story. I think I remember that movie growing up. Like we used to when I was growing up, we would watch that movie like on Christmas Eve, like all the time. But the problem was when everybody who was 7 became 30, then it was like now you fucking can't get away from it. It's everywhere. So I see why people get a little bit like jaded about it. But especially for the time, it was funny. It's a good movie.
I actually don't know if I know it.
A Christmas Story. Do you know? You'll shoot your eye out. Do you know that line? Okay, he's hesitating, so that means
I
no,
hate
he's
that
never
movie. By the way,
so you're with Brad from Pod Culture.
It just really bugs me.
Why?
It's just not fun to watch.
Is it because they did too much of it? Like it got because you know they're okay. Let me put it this way: there's some people that don't like Star Wars. You know which?
Well, those people are also wrong.
They'll marathon Star Wars for a full day, like on a certain channel every year.
Are you sure? All right. Which, by the way, don't worry about Star Wars spoilers, because, like, none of us saw it. No, wait, Loki, you saw it, right?
I saw it.
You know better, though. But the rest of us didn't even bother seeing it, so. I don't hate Star Wars. I was not going to fight that theater crowd this weekend. No, ma'am.
Well, here's the thing, though. Like, I took Friday off to go see Star Wars. I was actually going to see Star Wars and Thor, but after watching Star Wars, I got burnt out just of watching movies. I'm like, I can't sit for another, like, 2.5 hours through a movie. It'll just waste my whole day.
I heard it's a long movie. That's not a spoiler, right? We can say it's long.
It's a long movie. The pacing of it, it feels like if you actually looked at like all the stuff on paper, it doesn't seem like much happens. But it was good. I liked it. It wasn't like, oh my God, this is the most amazing thing ever.
Okay.
But it wasn't like, oh, I hate this thing.
Tiger Claw says it's 2 hours and 32 minutes. So
yeah, I mean, it was fine. I liked it. I mean... I don't know. There's not much to say. Just go see it. But I was lucky, though, because, like, our theaters nearby, they were open, like, fucking early. I mean, had, like, I saw it at 9 o'clock.
I think they were running 24 hours.
Yeah,
I saw it
at 9 o'clock in the morning. So I got that out of the way and went finished Christmas shopping.
We were going to finally go see Lady Bird yesterday, but I took a nap. instead. But what we did, we had some time to kill yesterday, so I took you over to where some of the houses are in that movie, because I know some of the famous houses that are in that movie are in the, what they call the Fab 40s here in SAC, and that's also where all the Christmas lights are this time of year. So,
oh my God, the traffic was terrible.
Yeah, but that's why we didn't go down 40th or 41st, which were the worst. We went down like 43rd, and I was like, here's the experience, like, light.
Yeah.
And that was
good. We have
good
one
enough.
Of those courts by my house, and it backs up traffic everywhere.
Do they synchronize with music and everything?
Only one of them. Oh, like, wow. They're all, it's like, it's basically all the people that live in this court, it's, you have to put out lights every year. And so, like, one of my coworkers, actually, that's in our department, he lives on that court, and he's talking about, I mean, he likes doing it. He likes Christmas and stuff, but yeah, it's insane because it's like, okay, it'll take me 30 minutes to get to my house from the end of my court. You know?
Oh, jeez. Because
it's just moving so slow.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I live in an apartment where I don't have any pressure to decorate.
What was the other movie I said we should go see? Oh, The Disaster Artist. But you didn't know what The Room was, right?
Or was I've never seen The Room.
Yeah. So, but I want to see that too.
If I'm going to see a movie about a disaster, I want it to be about Aja.
All right. Well, I guess our phones are not lighting up.
I still
up.
Want to see The Shape of Water.
Yeah, you were mentioning that
very,
too.
Very much.
Yeah.
Is Call Me By Your Name playing in Sacramento? Because I've heard a lot of good things about that. But I know it's an independent film, so it might be hard.
Well,
to
believe
find.
It or not, Sacramento has indie theaters.
Do you have Landmark?
There's Tower and Crest are the two. Well, actually, Crest doesn't really show stuff
anymore.
They have
a single screen, so like that's harder.
Yeah, Tower has three screens.
Yeah.
Tower was where I've seen some crazy movies there. Okay, so, and you're whatever movie. I know we're getting Sacramento right now, but any theater, city you live in has an art theater, right?
Right.
That's where I saw a Short Bus was the Tower Theater. No, wait, no, I saw that at the Crest. Actually.
I saw that with you.
That's right, and my old roommate, we all went. No, that was at the Crest, not the...
That was in the basement at the Crest.
I know I brought the screener.
Yeah, that was the one that was by the Hedwig and the Angry Inch director, but it was, like, super porn. Like, it was just a movie that happened to have, like, full-on
porn.
Sex in it. Yeah.
Yep.
It was actually a good movie.
It had the guy sucking his own dick.
Yes, it did.
It was a good movie.
No, yeah, and that's the weird thing about it. Like, you
and
can say that.
This is the first time I've ever seen Otto Fellatio.
That you can say that and still go, but like, actually, it was a good movie. But I was the only one. See, the controversial thing about it is that everybody walked away going, it was a happy ending. And I actually walked out of there going, I actually thought that was like one of the saddest movies I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everybody kind of gets different things out of that. So there you go. So a lot of these artsy movies, though, since you kind of got us on that topic, a lot of the artsy movies don't really show up till January because they're just coming out limited engagement so they can qualify for the Oscars. Like, I don't know if that Call Me By Your Name is going to be eligible for, or like if they're talking about Oscars for it or whatever.
I mean, it's been out definitely in theaters in December. So if that's what they're doing, then it would qualify.
So Tower has Darkest Hour, which I haven't heard of that. That's Gary Oldman. They have Lady Bird, but that makes sense because Tower Theater is in that movie.
Right.
And then Three Billboards Outside Ebbing.
Oh, I've heard of that one too.
Yeah, that is there too. And then I don't know if the Crest is even on the list. Oh, no, Crest is on the list, but they don't have anything today. The Crest now like sticks to like one-time shows. Like they'll show It's a Wonderful Life at some point during the season. They're kind of like the Castro Theater, but like not as cool.
Well, of course not. It's not in the gay neighborhood.
Oh, yeah, Tiger Claw. That's the other movie I want to see. I, Tonya. The one about Tonya Harding.
Oh,
I live for
right.
Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan scandal. There's a great documentary
and
on Netflix.
You've heard the Sushvan Stevens song.
Yes, the Tonya Harding.
Which was not actually part of the movie, but he wrote it around the same time and they didn't use it.
Yeah, why not?
I think
why not write a song about Tonya Harding?
I mean, I think they just didn't need it, but he wanted to do it anyway, so he's going to do what he's going to do.
All right. Anyhow, that's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. I think we've really covered it all tonight. thank you, guys. And no matter what it is you celebrate this holiday season, we hope you have a great holiday. We will see you again live in January in a few weeks. Meanwhile, for our podcast listeners, we will be, which hopefully are the live listeners too, we will be joining you for a special episode at some point during the break. Hey, if you liked what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, be sure to leave us a 5-star review on a site like iTunes or wherever it is you found this podcast because word of mouth is all we've got. So you don't have to send us hazelnut Oreos like Act Def did. You can just leave us a really nice review and that is a Christmas present or Hanukkah present or whatever it is you want in December present that we can all enjoy. In fact, presents actually don't have to be limited to December. You know, There you go. You can an unbirthday present can be any time of year. JD, thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Hope you had a good time.
Oh, it's always a blast.
It's always fun. What do people need to know about the experience of being here? Like, because you listen to this when you're not here, and then you're here. What do people that are listening that have never been here need to know about the being here experience?
It's really hard to describe. I'd have to think about that one before answering it.
That's a very good non-answer. All right.
We've been giggling, though, like little schoolgirls over here at Drag Queens. Although this picture that I just posted of Raja is glorious.
Dungeon Buster says, thanks for an epic year, OLR. Rock on safely into the holidays. Hey, will do. 2018. I know we don't want to get too much into like resolutions and stuff. We'll talk about that on our bonus show. But I definitely am going to get back into streaming. It's just, you guys know it's been a bad year for me. But I really do have fun when I do streaming. So I'm actually going to try and do the schedule thing, which can be a little weird for me. But there might be some new podcast projects in 2018 too. Jamie and I have been talking about something for a long time. My buddy Victoria is like hell bent on making something happen, and I think she'd be really good. She's kind of one of those people who doesn't have a podcast right now, who kind of needs one. So I'm looking forward to that. So anyway, that's going to do it. Let's go around and get everybody's final freaking thoughts for the year, I guess. Final live thoughts for the year anyway. JD, do you have anything? We should let our guests go first. You have a final thought?
No, I don't have anything right away.
All right, that's fine. Loki, your final thought tonight.
I'm worried I lost my dongle for my new phone.
Dongle.
Because I got a Pixel 2 today, so I upgraded my Samsung Galaxy S6 to a Pixel 2. And since it doesn't have a headphone jack, it has a dongle for it. And
jack.
And I was like, man, I got to find a place to put this so I don't lose it. And I thought I put it in my back pocket. So maybe I didn't bring it to the show because I didn't think I was going to be using my headphones. But that's going to be a real issue because I know I'm going to lose that thing. And also, like, I guess I have to zip tie it to my headphones I use because that's really the only solution.
I've heard the Apple one is cheaper if you need to buy a replacement.
Well, it's USB Type-C. That's a fun...
Oh, that's... yeah.
Well, Loki, sorry about your dongle.
But I love my new phone. It's super snappy.
All right. My final thought for the night is just thank you guys. I know it's been an up and down year, just, you know, obviously for me personally, but it's affected the show and we've gone like several weeks without some shows, and I really hate to do that, but I really want to thank you guys who've like stuck by us through the crazy fucking year that is 2017. And we're going to carry this show on into 2018, and who fucking knows when we're going to run out of steam. Who knows?
We haven't yet.
Well, not anytime soon, because Dark Soccer just got a Steam gift card. Ba-dum-bum.
Ha-ha.
Anyway, last but not...
We're going to be posting from the grave.
Anyway, the OLR way here at the end of the show. Ladies last. Your final thought.
Save the best for last.
Sure.
Right.
Love you.
Act Deft, I love you for the gift of Hazelnut. And reject false icons next year. New year, new me.
All right. We'll see you next time. New year, new OLR.
That doesn't work.
New Orleans.
Dude, let's move to New Orleans.
Moving the show to New
Orleans.
You
know it snowed?
See you in 2018, live from Southern Decadence. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.